Oh, Konami, we wouldn't be here without you, and we lament your continued decline in everything except Imani. But now you're teasing new life in your largest franchises? Do I want classic Konami remakes? Yes. Do I want new titles of classic Konami franchises? Castlevania? Metal Gear? Silent Hill? Let's reserve judgment. This is the headline about the publisher that catalyzed our collective. Now it's time for your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki to tell you more about this and the rest of the week's gaming news. Starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
Welcome back to another week of the show where every gamer has a voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, and we are live once again with episode number 886 of our show for tonight, October the 3rd of 2021. I can't believe it's spooky season already, but happy Halloween a little early. My name is Rob Roberts, and I'm here with you every week and joined by my co-hosts. Say hello to Dark Sakura or Jamie Summers.
You know Halloween season started on August 1st, right?
Fair enough. Well, certainly by the time I was enjoying a pumpkin spice latte, was it spooky season? And that was like Dragon Con. That was like Labor Day.
I have still not had one.
Oh, you're missing out.
Not missing out.
Yes, you are. As I've said on a previous episode, the apple drink's pretty good too. I
didn't have that because I hate caramel.
Just get it without the caramel.
No, I like it in the chai.
Oh, yeah.
It's too strong, actually. It's too sweet, so I'd have to have them do half as much.
Yeah, it is
a lot
sweet.
Of those, like, even the pumpkin spice latte, the thing I absolutely loathe about it now is that it is so sweet. Hmm. I can't stomach it. It makes me nauseous.
Try the cold brew with the foam, because when they mix together, the bitterness of the cold brew kind of helps, I think, with that.
Cold brew isn't supposed to be very bitter, though.
It is to me. Well, it's coffee, so it tastes a little bitter to me.
The thing about cold brew, okay, we're getting into coffee science and better.
It's coffee talk. Let's talk about a pumpkin spice latte. Neither
a cold brew is neither cold nor a brew. Discuss. It really isn't a brew. It's like more like a steep.
All right. Say hello as well to neither tech nor master. Say hello to Loki, everybody.
Hello.
How are you, Loki?
I don't like the cold brew coffees.
You don't really like coffee at all, do you?
I'll drink like a white mocha. That's about it.
Oh, I'm
so you don't like real chocolate either?
I'm excited.
I don't really like a lot of things, yeah.
I'm excited because Alan has to go run an errand, so he said on his way back he would go by. And especially if you're West Coast, like Northwest Coast, you know this place is crack. He's going by Dutch Brothers on the way back, and that's like
fucking love Dutch Brothers.
To hell with Starbucks, honestly. They're not paying me to say that. FYI,
I always get like the double mocha thing from them, even if it's going to make me super sick. That much chocolate makes me happy.
My favorite part of Dutch Brothers is how they make their locations way too small and don't account for any sort of traffic concerns.
Oh, yeah, it's always a disaster.
Walks everything everywhere. They're just a big pain in the ass. And so it's just, yay, Dutch Brothers. And then everybody like has the stupid stickers on their car and... It's like,
how do we take the concept of a Trader Joe's parking lot and make it worse?
Dutch Brothers and Trader Joe's are the same people, man. I swear, it's just like the same crowd. My wife is part of that crowd. She doesn't go to Dutch Brothers, but she's the Trader Joe's crowd, and yeah, they're special.
All right. Anyway, we're here to talk about games, not about Dutch Brothers and Trader Joe's. Although.
More studio. By the way, I bet Loki would like my dinner.
What did you have for dinner?
It is steak and shells and cheese.
Oh, good. Yum. I'd like your dinner.
Yeah, that was better than my, you know, 1 to 2 month reminders that McDonald's food is not good. Although the fries were good today. But I didn't have time. I wanted to go all the way down the Rancho to get this place. They have, they're like steak sandwiches, but they have like a beef dip there that's pretty good. And I wanted to try that, but that's like all the way over in the Rancho. Like, or my other option was I want to go to Burger King. But once again, for some stupid reason, we have a black hole of Burger King in our area. And the closest Burger King is like 20 minutes away one way or the other from me.
I was going to say there's one like right near, I mean, not to give away my address, on, but there's one not far from the studio. So
yeah,
one of them's
yeah,
over
here.
Yeah,
it's just, I don't know, for some reason, they don't have Burger Kings around me. They have everything else, but not Burger King.
Well,
Dan did get me chicky nugs from the Evil W.
Come back to the studio really at like some point for some good old times, and you can go buy Burger King on your way.
Sure.
All right.
The only fast food I really eat anymore is Del Taco.
The one here. All right, we got to get to games. Look, it's a fine whole episode.
Jim Boy's is probably the only thing.
Maybe, you know what? We haven't done a channel point reward in a long time. I think it was Bobby's turn, and then it just didn't happen. But he's going to be taking a little time off, so maybe we'll just have to do one again. And maybe we'll have to raise the channel points for an all food. Like the purpose will be Orange Lounge Foodio, and we will talk about nothing but food. I will have like 20 topics on food ready to go, and we'll
it'll
have
be
a food
all
show.
Food eleganza.
Exactly.
We'll play
category is food.
All food, and we'll play Power Washing Sim in the background just for the hell of it.
We need to fucking talk about Power Washing Sim, but first, our kickoff topic for tonight, let's go to a story about Twitch. Well, why do we be self-referential? Since we are doing our show on Twitch, because we do tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern at the Voice of Geeks Network, twitch.tv/VOG Network. Usually I would say we're right after the Bobby Blackwolf show, but as he announced earlier this evening, he's going to be taking an unspecified amount of time off. I am having fingers and toes crossed and full faith that it's just going to be 1 week, although the reality is it could be a little longer, but we're just going to err on the side of 1 week, and so he'll just be taking a little vacation and then be back in 2 weeks. That's where I'm going to set my mind and positivity to, and if it doesn't turn out that way, then we'll deal with it later. All right, but anyhow, Twitch, our kickoff topic's about Twitch. Let's get into it. Loki, you want to kind of start us off here?
I would, but the thing we linked is the wrong story, so
yeah.
I am looking it up right now. But yeah, basically they've added some more functionality to Twitch chat to basically combat those bot raids and whatnot. So
the that verified account thing.
Yeah, so that's nice that they're finally doing some of that stuff. Is it enough? I guess we'll wait and see.
It's been kind of interesting though in some of my other friends' channels. I haven't seen as much. Certainly, I haven't seen the Hoss show up as much in the last couple of days.
I have.
The Hoes.
I've seen the Hoes show up. Just one or two here or there, but drop a follow. And I think part of the problem.
And then they're banned immediately.
Well, I ban them immediately, that's for sure.
When I go to ban them, it says user doesn't exist.
Oh, well, that's nice, I guess. But they started putting words in front of Hoes. So the Hoes are. I think they're
request
the
or
yeah.
fun or, you know, crap.
So I don't know what those clowns are doing, but, you know, I do see them come through once in a while. But it's nice that, you know, we can set the things on the chat and we can set the things with that. But we can't change the follow, because I would turn on the follow thing, you know, and I realize that can kind of damage your follow base. But I'm whatever. Like, I would turn it on so that you have to have a verified phone number to be able to follow. I don't think it's that big of a deal that they're asking for. And definitely raid. That's the other thing. They're not doing anything. The actual like hate raid, when you get a bunch of these, you know, Hoes to suddenly raid and their icons and stuff that are coming through are all disgusting images. That's not really done yet. But for what it's worth, I haven't personally seen it happen to a channel in a little bit. So everything I'm hearing is anecdotal, and I don't know if it's been happening since. And maybe chat, you can set me straight, because y'all are, or set me gay, whatever you prefer. But set me in the chat, whichever way I should be going, over at twitch.tv/VOG Network on if you've seen one of these in the past couple days or heard about this happening since Twitch actually did these changes. That's what I would be curious about. I'm Fifth Dream in
so
chat.
Oh,
sorry. Go ahead.
Is that something that you toggle on in your stream manager? Because I'm not seeing it in mine.
It is there. It's kind of, you have to dig
around.
You have
to go into your dashboard settings and moderation, and then or mods can do it via chat. Manage moderation settings, and then you can toggle phone or email verification required for all accounts, first time chatters. Chatters with accounts A's less than, and then they have like certain criteria up from 1 day to 6 months, or even like 1 hour. Chatters following for less than pre-filled, they have like 10 minutes, 30 minutes, all the way up to 3 months. So you can add all that. You can also exempt VIP subscribers and mods and whatnot.
So I think
that's good that they have all that stuff in there. Definitely will slow them down.
Yeah.
But.
And just some free advice you didn't ask for Twitch streamers and up and coming Twitch streamers. Never, ever, ever, ever set your channel to followers only mode. Unless it's a result of one of these raids and it's the only thing you can do about it. Hopefully these options will make it so that you don't need to do that. But I would say, like, setting your so obviously, you know, because I don't want to get the email that's like, you're insensitive and rude, Rob, because you haven't had to deal with as many of these and I have to turn it on. Okay, if you're doing it as a response to these, I'm sorry you have to do that, because that is one of the worst things you can do to your channel to stifle growth, in my opinion. Never turn on followers only mode, because you're not encouraging discussion with new potential awesome people. And then you can't,
but
like,
following is free.
Yeah. Following is free. Well, yeah, you should follow channels that you're watching, but you know, sometimes people want to have a little bit of the engagement or whatever it is. I just think turning on followers only mode, you're putting up a wall, and then somebody just, you know, is like, ah, I don't want to follow. I'll just go to a different channel. You know, I'm not that motivated to say something. You want to encourage the participation as easy as possible. You don't want to make it even one button and an alert, which some people don't want to have the alerts. I followed channels purposely when they're not live so that I don't do an alert, so that it's just like outside. It is what it is. So
see, I like when people follow or sub while I can see it, so that I can give them a shout out and thank them.
Sure. Not everybody wants to be seen, though.
Yeah.
So, you know, it just depends on the preference of the viewer and so forth.
But sometimes it makes the streamer feel good.
Sure.
To witness it and know that it's happened.
Let's see. Mike Deft in chat is kind of agreeing, saying, yeah, people do tend to go away if they see an obstacle, even as simple as just a click. And Mike Deft continues, ads suck more, though. Yeah. I really think that feature that Twitch added where it automatically plays ads. I mean, if you're dropping an ad because you're going to pee anyway and you're not going to be there for 2 minutes, that's one thing. But the one that, like, I've been to channels now that just automatically play the ads every 30 minutes. And it's so, like, I tune right out. Like, if I feel like they're talking and I'm missing something, I'm like, forget it. I'll just go somewhere else. But I won't, like, if somebody's like, because I've done it, I've run an ad when I've gotten up to pee because I know nothing's going to happen on my channel for 2 minutes, but an AFK screen. So it's like, all right, whatever. I'm not like hurting anything or stifling discussion. And I'm getting rid of pre-roll ads, which is another important thing. So,
go ahead. I actually do that when I go for one of my many bathroom breaks. I usually run an ad.
Sure. But that makes sense. To do it then.
And make two whole cents. Ooh.
Yeah. Let's see. ZenMonkey11 in chat says they should have a hide button for subs so they can choose to be seen or not. You know, technically that exists, because you only actually push the sub notice through when you check that bot. Like, and some people have said, Rob, why didn't you read my shout out at the end of the stream? I didn't see it. You didn't let that little chat thing go through.
A gun to your head to, you know, announce it in chat. Like, every time I'm like, close. No, listen, you're going to do it. You're going to announce your subscription.
Yeah, that's the other thing, is I'm like, how did you get that to go away? Because I never can.
No, so, it's
crazy.
Yeah, it's like, sorry, you can't do anything until you announce your sub. Yeah, it's like, okay, thanks.
Yeah. Bonds006 in chat says, I followed 26 channels, lurk in 22 of them. I'm tuning in to give the person the numbers. I literally lurk in 90% of Darksakura's DBD games. Not to speak for Darksakura when she's right there, but I'm going to guess she doesn't mind if you lurk, because it's still a view. So,
yeah.
So, and because that's how I feel too. And again,
that view numbers are weird anyway. Like, it'll say 3 people are watching and then it's got like 50 people lurking.
Yeah. That's why I just learn to stop looking at those numbers, like, because they're not right half the time anyway. I would also say a really big no-no as a streamer: do not shout out random people in chat that you know are there. Like there are very specific circumstances and that might be okay. Like, for example, like, you know, we're going to bring up Pokemon. Is Shane in chat? Let me look at the chat list. Oh, that's different because, you know, we've been friends for years and, you know, whatever. Yeah. He knows I'm going to call him out if I ever bring up a Pokemon topic, and that's a compliment. But again, sometimes people just want to lurk. They just want to idle and they don't necessarily want to participate. They just are having the content in the background. So to call him out can always feel really awkward. So anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Anyway, this was not unsolicited Twitch advice hour. It was responding to some of these news items. But I think there's more, right, Loki?
Well, it did help me out, by the way. Thanks, Loki.
So there is also more, and this is kind of – I don't necessarily like where this is going, but it's basically this new service that they're testing right now. It's called Boosting, and what it basically does is allows you to pay for recommendations to other people. So for example, they have like a screenshot here showing that they're paying about $2.97 for 3,000 recommendations. So I guess it blasts it out to, it pops maybe your channel on their recommended feed on the side there. Not really sure what that's about, but yeah, apparently it varies in cost depending on how many recommendations you're looking to
Facebook does that
make. I don't necessarily like that. That's kind of pay to win at that point, but I don't know.
That's exactly what Facebook does for personal pages.
The response on Twitter has been very interesting to this because I've seen a lot of streamer pals and friends that are tweeting like, if you are a fan of my stream, please do not do this. I'm not so sure I'm apt to tell people not to do this because at the end of the day, it's your money. Spend it how you want. If you're going to spend money on a mediocre way to boost the visibility of VOG Network or one of our personal streams, of course, I'm not going to stop you. Like, maybe it'll work. Yay. Who knows? But I think there's just a lot of us going, we don't get a cut of that. And so there's a lot of us going, the money would be better spent on a sub or biddies because we actually get some of that money. And we'll spend it on advertising in other ways, like buying a booth at a convention where we can talk to people face to face, or getting more flyers or merchandise made that we can take to conventions and other live spaces. I think that is kind of why people are urging people to go the other direction with this. It would be nice maybe if Twitch had a boost slash, you know, donate or tip the streamer type of thing, and then maybe people wouldn't feel so opposed. But again, I'm not going to take a hard line on that. If you feel generous enough to boost VOG Network, again, I don't think it's the best way you could spend the money, but I'll be curious if it works, and I'll be thankful that you tried, I guess. So that's how I kind of feel. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, that's why I don't like the Discord Nitro system. Just let us pay to get the boosted perks instead of forcing our users to do so. Yeah, I'm not a huge, huge fan of that either, but I do like that a server can be boosted a pretty decent amount with just one person. And so the VOG Network Discord is boosted thanks to yours truly. I think somebody else actually boosted, so I can't take all the credit anymore. But maybe Bobby did it too, actually. I was the first. I know that that got us boosted there. So, I mean, it's going to take like 50 boosts to get to the next level. Yeah, don't do that. Don't spend the money to do that. Like, yeah, I agree with Bobby. Let us pay to do it. And maybe we will. Who knows? Yeah, Mike Def says, I'd rather give you guys the money directly. Thank you. We'll take it. Although, remember, we don't ask for money to do this show. Like, all the tips and things you guys give, and I did notice the hype train earlier. Thank you guys very much for that. You really, really don't have to do those types of things. But since you did, we'll use the money to keep our business legitimate and to help spread the word and try to grow our family a little bit. You know, it'll be nice when conventions come back and we can do that more.
Dude, no more selling the black market knockoff video games.
That's kind of what Loki's doing with Pixel Poops.
Yeah, that's a legit game.
It is.
I mean, like, you know, 50 million in one cartridges.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, those. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Selling them out of the boot of my Fiat.
The boosting thing is interesting. I'm not sure it's going to have much success, but I think it just also shows, like, I don't know a nice way to put this, so I'm just going to say it bluntly. It shows how desperate Twitch is to make money right now. is that they're allowing the content creators to essentially buy advertisements. Do you know what I would be interested in buying? Hey, Twitch, hey, let me give you some advice. You didn't ask for it. Here's what I would be interested in buying, provided it's priced reasonably, perhaps for my own channel, perhaps for other channels. I would be interested in buying something that removes the ads from my channel for everybody. There's no more ads on my channel, and maybe I'll pay like whatever, $15 a month, whatever, you know, reasonable amount you want to set. I'll pay it to get rid of ads completely. But that, right.
I'm tired of having to pay that much in all of the people I'm sub to.
Oh, right.
And I'm sub to a lot of people.
Yeah. I was going to say I see you in a lot of channels.
Well, no, I can be in a lot of chats and follow them. I'm talking about the subs I have.
I see you subbing to a lot of channels.
And I need to apologize to those friends and take a step back, but still.
I don't think you need to apologize to anybody. No one should expect a sub from anyone, because that's when Twitch...
Except me. You should all sub to me. I'm kidding, kidding.
That's when Twitch turns into a pyramid scheme. Basically. Yeah. And this was the exact same criticism I had of Patreon and I in some ways I still do, is that there is a social pressure that if I donate to this Patreon, you need to donate to my Patreon. So what are we doing? We're giving each other money and letting Patreon take a cut of it. That is the exact same thing that happens when Twitch people feel a requirement to sub to each other's channels.
Amazoning Twitch.
Yeah,
it's basically the whole thing is Amazon's scheme right there.
It's an MLM, is what Bonds 006 says. Anyway, Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, I thought Twitch Turbo removes ads. Used to be Prime Gaming. Used to be that way until it will on one channel, the one that you're subscribed to with your free subscription. But other than that. Yeah, you could just tell that Twitch is desperate to make money. I don't know. There's a part of me that's starting to worry. I'm going to be honest. That Twitch, Amazon may think about cutting Twitch off at some point if they're not making enough money. I don't know. So, anyway, on that happy, friendly note, let's move on to our gaming weeks. And we're going to talk about the types of video games that we have been playing this week. Oh, Bobby Blackwell says Twitch Turbo still gives you an ad-free viewing across Twitch. I didn't even know that was a thing. I thought that went away with Prime Gaming.
By the way.
What's that? I didn't hear what you said.
Let Loki go first so I can finish chewing.
Sure. Okay, sure. Let me go to Loki and talk about gaming weeks. Loki, how was your gaming week?
Yeah, so I played Minecraft. And I was doing video editing for that as well. Still, I was going through time lapses because I broke my time lapse up into about 12 parts because I had like several different sessions that I built stuff in. So I'm actually thinking about just cutting out the time lapse because it's not that interesting anyways. And then that'll save me a whole bunch of time. And I can put my episode out, which should have been out last week, but, you know, took longer than anticipated as usual. And then, of course, I played more. Power washing sim. So now I'm all the way through, like, I'm on the Hansel and Gretel cottage thing, which is interesting. And then I just finished up the skate park, which is pretty big. I just bought the best power washer in the game. And yeah, it's still something I keep playing. It's a good, I don't want to think about anything, just let my mind go to mush game where you just power wash. And I didn't realize that like the R key actually rotates the power washer adapter, which I wish I had figured that out at the beginning, because I know like on the keys they have it mapped to like X and C. You're supposed to like rotate through stuff, but I thought that actually would like rotate your sprayer, but it never seemed to do that. But yeah, R does that apparently. And so that,
oh my God, noted. I was trying to use that today and I'm like, I thought Z and X was supposed to rotate the gun.
Yeah.
So it's
R does. Yeah. It'll rotate at 90 degrees. So it's, that helped me out a lot with, you know, being able to spray in, different directions and stuff. So, yep. So that's it. That's what I played this week.
All right. Let's see if Darsakra is ready. Your gaming week, Darsakra.
I picked up a couple of games for a certain somebody in my house's upcoming birthday on the following month. Mm. I will not say what they are in case he is listening. I bought a game and ended up getting a different game, and then the person sent me the right game. So this is the game I ordered, which is Puyo Puyo for Super Famicom. I also got sent Puzzle Depon. So you sent me that first.
For the podcast, folks, she's holding up the cartridges. So this is a show and tell.
I mean, really, I was only out $4 in general. But the person was really nice about it, and they get some good games in. So, but it was like through Mercari or something.
Isn't Puzzle Depon that was the one that was on the Neo Geo as well? Or is that a different game?
Puzzle Depon is Tetris Attack and Pokemon Puzzle League, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I'm
not mad. Puzzle Depon is fun.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, because they have a game called Puzzle Depon on the Neo Geo that was like Bust a Move. So I used to play
that. All
I thought it was Puzzle Depon.
No, they call it Puzzle Depon on the Neo Geo. I know it should be like Panel Depon, but it's Puzzle Depon. I promise you, I played it all the time when I worked at Roundtable. That's one of the four Neo Geo games that we had.
Or maybe interesting.
It's Mandela Effect in action.
It is not the Mandela Effect in action. I guarantee it is.
Okay.
Puzzle Depon.
Maybe that might have been the name for U.S. distribution.
No, it's right here. Yeah, SNK and Taito, Puzzle Depon. I am not insane.
Bobby's confirming. He Googled it. You're right. All right, chat. Chat says Loki's right. Fine. Come on, we were trying to gaslight him, you guys. Let us have fun. I'm just kidding.
Super Famicom was a Nintendo published. So, interesting. Puyo Puyo was Banpresto. Anyway. So there's that. I've also been watching a lot of people play New World, and if I figured out I can't. It will not run on Windows ARM. Mm-hmm. Which is the version I have to run in Parallels. So I can't do it unless I install one of those motherboards in my old PC whenever I can get some time to and upgrade my graphics card and get a better hard drive. Because it's kind of just like, I don't want to do anything. And then that way I'll leave it on, Steam Link it, and I'm fine.
Yeah.
I have been able to Steam Link a lot of stuff, honestly enough, through my Windows ARM. So like whenever I want to use like Source Filmmaker, I'm doing it like in my Mac build, but it's streaming from my little, you know, virtual Windows. So weird. I'm also I am playing a lot of Dead by Daylight. I played a lot of Dead by Daylight when I did that marathon, and I'm doing another marathon.
Like 14 hours of Dead by Daylight.
I played 13 hours.
13 hours. Lucky 13.
Because I had to be stubborn and make it one more hour. And then I'm like, okay, I can't do this anymore. What I have learned from this, no one plays Dead by Daylight at 4 a.m. or 5 or 6. Just saying. My next one is going to be I've mentioned my lesbian moms, right?
A while ago on the show, it's been some time, but I know this just from knowing you for so long. I'm not sure every listener's heard this of these individuals before.
When I had just started college, I was taken in by some very dear friends of mine. And I always refer to them as my mama-san and my papa-san, not to be confused with furniture. But they really took good care of me at a time when I desperately needed it. And I was in a really, really bad spot just, you know, mentally. I was unmedicated and didn't know I was autistic at the time. And so they took me in. They took good care of me. They've been there for me for some pretty major stuff. They're actually the people who introduced me to Dan. So funny enough, back in the day, Dan's old AOL screen name was Dark Ryoga, and Papa-san had a Ryoga screen name as well, and then mine was Dark Uchan. So it was pretty funny. And by the way, people don't whisper me during this show, please. It was just really funny that that I met Dan that way. And I had actually met my friend Julie before that in the Sailor Moon AOL chat room. But I didn't know that Julie and Dan were friends at the time. So, but anyway, so, you know, I moved to California. Every time I'd go back, I'd have to go see them and hang out with them. And so to put things forward now, Papa-san has been recently diagnosed with cancer, like a few days ago. I also heard that she had her first chemo treatment today and is feeling pretty beat up by it. I want to do something to give back to them. I don't really have like a whole lot of bonus money right now, which is why I'm trying to, you know, dial back my Twitch stuff. But I figured I do kind of have an audience, you know. I get people in from time to time, and I'm pretty good at making friends. And I have friends who would support me in this. So I'm doing another marathon, not tomorrow Monday, but next Monday on the 11th. I'll link stuff in the chat room. I would greatly appreciate some support. I'm doing it from 11 a.m. to 11 p.m. Pacific time, which I figured would accommodate our West Coast and East Coast and maybe some of our Australian people, because that would be going into the late afternoon for them, and maybe some of our UK people earlier in the day, you know, yeah, get them in the evening.
Probably going to work out at a better time, yeah.
Yes, and it also means I still don't have to get up before 10 a.m., so that's good. I really want to give back to Barbara. Barbara has been an amazing human being in general, a delightful human, has always taken good care of my mama-san. They take good care of each other. And just one of my absolute dearest friends, my chosen family. And I mean that in the truest sense of chosen family. So I would appreciate if everyone would help me.
Well, let me know how I can help besides just trying to get the word out. So, you know, if you want me to...
There is a GoFundMe.
Okay.
And I'll put the links for that in there. But I will say that if you... for friends who donate before the marathon, your donations will count toward the giveaways. So I will make sure that information gets linked in chat, because, you know, y'all have all helped me. People in the community have been really great to me. And I also want to provide some entertainment in the form of me complaining about survivors.
All right.
There is a $5,000 goal. If I can hit $5,000,
lofty goal,
I will play Survivor.
All right.
I'll be in a Swift with y'all.
That's a big goal, but it's a good cause. Like, if you're going to raise $5,000 for anything, this is the reason
and
to do
I
it.
And I might lower that to $3,000.
All right. All right. Well, aim
it
big.
Depends.
Shoot big. Shoot big. All right. Anything else for your gaming week, Dark Saga?
A little bit of pinball.
Oh.
Played some pinball. World Cup.
Harass
the cat. Harass the cat is my favorite game, really.
Is it you harassing the cat or the cat harassing you?
I don't know what her deal is. Maybe she's just getting old, because she's going to be 10 around my birthday.
Mm-hmm.
But she's just been like, I'm going to sit in your lap. And then she'll do like the flat cat thing, you know, where she just turns into a pancake.
Yes.
And then I'll just pet and purr, pet and purr. And then she's like, she fucks off into the night.
As cats
do. By the way, I have a new mascot.
Hmm.
The ferret is no more.
Yeah.
I have the iridescent platypus.
The iridescent platypus. That's good, because I'm like, I don't even know where those ferret things are anymore. I'm
at
all
my house.
So many of them.
All right.
The original ferret is in my possession.
Oh, well, that's good. I'm glad it's got a good home.
There was a couple on the Katamari, or I think there was like one at least on the Katamari that Namco had.
Yes.
Which is probably in a landfill.
One of them
somewhere.
Got placed on a Katamari ball at E3. I do remember that. It was sacrificed
to
the Katamari gods. Orange right in chat. The last ferret is in captivity. The galaxy is at peace. Gold star comment of the week. All right. Let's see. I want to address this too before we get to my gaming week, along the lines of Dead by Daylight. She-Hulk Tan in chat says, I have been playing tons of Friday the 13th, the game. Awesome horror, fun, highly underrated. You know, that game kind of came and went. And what's interesting, that game came out right around the time Dead by Daylight did. In fact, I believe Friday the 13th came out a few months before.
It was first, I think.
It was first. Yeah. But it's the same idea, four versus one, and it's survivors and killer, but the killer in this case is Jason. And they gave away that game on PlayStation Plus for a hot minute, too. Anyway, it's a really fun game. The only problem is that the game got kind of fucked over by all the legal problems that have been going on around the Friday the 13th franchise. And I believe, in related note, that was all figured out this week. I was seeing something about, like, that the guy who wrote Friday the 13th ended up, he does have the rights because he wrote the movie as a contractor or something like that. I don't know. But legally, there's probably a lot of ground still to cover. But the Friday the 13th game was great, but it couldn't go really much further than where it went because of all the legal problems. Like, it really got screwed by these outside legal problems. So that's really unfortunate. Yeah, it was as of yesterday. So She-Hulk 10 says, oh, 9 versus 1? I always thought it was 4v1. I didn't realize they expanded it later on. That's kind of cool. So now people are wondering, oh, does this lawsuit mean that now Dead by Daylight could get Jason? And I settled down.
It could have happened anyway.
Just in general, settle down. Like, there's
we already have Myers and Freddy.
There still is the Friday the 13th game. I would say they'd try to get that going again before suddenly adding Jason to Dead by Daylight, but I don't know. Nothing's impossible in this day and age, but I just wouldn't.
Now we have the Cenobite. We have the Hell King and the Hell Priest.
I mean, it really is. As you've described it before, it really is the Avengers of horror in that game.
We need Candyman next.
We do need Candyman. That'd be
awesome.
Or
Pumpkinhead.
All right. Anyway.
Like, what other icons are there?
That's another big one. Well, we need the real Ghostface. And a lot of Dead by Daylight players make this mistake, is that they assume the Ghostface is a Scream license, and they're always like, well, why don't we have, you know, Neve Campbell or whatever as a survivor? Well, have you ever noticed when you read the bio, Ghostface is not the Ghostface
Danny somebody.
It's just a completely made-up character.
Trailer was hilarious.
Yeah, but again, had nothing to do with Scream. They licensed the mask. That's what they licensed. They didn't license anything with Scream. Scream had to license the mask when it ended up becoming such a huge thing in that game. She-Hulk 10 says Jaws. Can you imagine?
So, by the way, I have to ask real quick.
Land Shark.
And this will be the last thing for Dead by Daylight for right now.
All right.
What do you think of Barista Witch?
I hope this.
I can't do the PTB.
I hope this doesn't offend, but I think I've actually heard this come out of your mouth. She looks like you.
Yeah, I am the Barista Witch.
The new survivor looks like you, like maybe like in a Hot
Unless
Topic
I was,
phase.
If
10,
I was really skinny,
ago.
You know, but she's got red curly hair, mm-hmm. wears glasses, mm-hmm. Is into new agey stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Is
a witch.
Likes storytelling.
Yeah.
Loves books. And likes spooky shit.
Oh, yeah. No, she's you. She really is.
And she's also the first survivor to be taken in front of a crowd of people.
Hmm.
So.
I didn't realize that.
Nientity is getting pretty ballsy. By the way, I finally faced a survivor named the Nientity. I can die happy.
All right. The chat is giving suggestions. And I like the SSJ100. Matt says the Babadook. That's a good suggestion. They should add the Babadook for Gay Pride Month. Bonsoblo6 says a creature from the film The Mist. Dark Tetsuya says Chucky. That's a great idea. Our voiceover friend Jason.
With the skin being, what's her face?
VXJ6V says, how about the Hocus Pocus witches? They're not. That's more Disney horror, though.
They're not scary.
You can't really. Yeah, you can't mix Disney horror with Dead by Daylight, unfortunately.
Believe it or not, I got into a sort of debate with Polyester on Twitter.
Yeah.
Who's like one of the big streamer folks, has that in with behavior.
Mm-hmm.
And he was talking about having Elvira as a survivor.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, or a killer. And I was like, nah, survivor would kick the Observer out of his little damn tower and give a snark the entire time.
Yeah, I would see Elvira more as somebody that you would see in the why do I keep wanting to say the book, that mode, the Shrine of Secrets, that whole thing, or that whole thing.
For the record, Michigan's Lizzie Borden actually did not kill anybody. She was actually never. What was the word I'm thinking of? She was judged not guilty. So. Hmm. I don't like that a girl's reputation has been sullied by people wanting to blame her for a murder she didn't do. So,
all right, we said no more Dead by
Phantasm
Daylight.
Phantasm would be great.
End of Dead by Daylight's hat.
One more. The pastor from Poltergeist 2.
All right, enough.
And he sings the whole time like the Huntress.
Enough, but it definitely should.
Original trailer Sonic.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. My gaming week. I want to talk about my gaming week. So what did I play during my gaming week? I played Dead by Daylight. Okay. Besides that, I played more Cookie Clicker. I'm up to 400 achievements unlocked in Cookie Clicker. I've clicked.
How many achievements do they have?
A lot of cookies. 560 something, I think, is the top. Maybe 540. Somebody in chat might be able to correct me on that. But Dead by Daylight. I'm sorry. I'm looking at my phone, my notes. But Cookie Clicker, yeah, I've unlocked 400 of the achievements in that so far. Then I played more Final Fantasy 14. I actually did a little stream on Friday just to make sure I'm trying to stream on a somewhat regular basis. And I'm still working to get all my classes to 80 before Endwalker's out. And the clock is ticking because there's less than 50 days to go before Endwalker. So I gotta get going on that. My monk is 65. My warrior 66 and my black mage is 75. So I'm really close. I just got to, put the pedal to the metal and make sure I'm doing my roulettes every day to get up to 80 on all the classes. I've also been continuing to play Final Fantasy 13 on Xbox backwards compatibility. I just got to chapter 7 today. So I've been, making my way a little bit through that. And I posted some things on Twitter and stuff with some of the, cutscenes and things. And you can see they look a lot better now than they did on the PlayStation 3, or especially the original Xbox 360 release. Really looked not great, by today's standards anyway. So it's nice how they've really, made it run on the nicer resolutions. It's almost like it's a remaster, except it's not really a remaster. So, but it's great. I've been enjoying playing that. And then I've played one other game this week, and it's something that Loki's talked a lot about on this show, and he did tonight. And I finally was like, all right, I got to pick up this game and see what this is all about. And so I picked up Power Wash Simulator. Have you ever seen that Reddit? I think it's called mildly satisfying or oddly satisfying. And it's just a collection of pictures that are like, that is mildly satisfying. Like it's just like a perfectly organized bookshelf or something where all the colors have been sorted appropriately. And you're like, well, that is a mildly satisfying photo, right? This is that as a game. That is what Power Wash Simulator is.
You want to know what's funny?
What?
When my meds aren't working, I clean.
Well, then this
and I clean meticulously.
This is a game that's an outlet. Well, this is wild because I don't clean this well in real life, but being able to have this in a game sure is a lot of fun. And okay, so Power Wash Simulator. It is exactly, yes, DJ Rama S in chat says perfectly organized Ethernet cabling. Yes, that is so fucking satisfying to look at, right? And that's what Power Wash Simulator is. And it's exactly what you think. You get dropped in a level where something is really fucking dirty. Like one of the early levels is a backyard. And it's like everything is just overtaken with, growth and whatever. And so you and your little power wash gun just start to go to work. And you just do a little piece at a time. You just spray it, power washing the patio rocks. Power washing the little pond. Power washing the fence, each post, and the very satisfying as you complete each little part and you power wash it to God's satisfaction, you get the little ding, and it lights up and then it becomes super sparkling and it's really satisfying. And then you get to bigger and better levels. So Loki, I just did the playground level, was the one I just finished.
Where
you have the Stegosaurus slide that's like purple. And like you go in there and everything is just like black mold everywhere, right? But then once you clean everything up, it's like, oh, there's like all these shiny colors and things. And then here is the best part. Here is the part when you're like, ah, now that is satisfying. Once you beat a level, you are presented with a short movie in fast time of you cleaning the level. So you get to see how you removed all the dirt and where, and it just, and then you see, ah.
Very own time lapse.
It's its own little time lapse thing. And, you know, because it might have taken you like, I'm not kidding, it probably took me like 2 hours to clean that playground, right? But then once it's done, it's like, ah, you see that time lapse video and you're like, that's satisfying. And it also makes me go, I want a power wash gun in real life. And then I go, oh, wait,
I know.
I live in California. That's probably not something I'm allowed to have.
Sure it is.
No, you can. You can. I know you can. But it's frowned on to use those probably as much as I do in that game. Although I do understand that game has modes where you can limit your water consumption and you can like change the difficulty in ways like that. I don't know why I would ever do that to myself, because then that is no longer mildly satisfying.
Challenge. I think they're challenge modes where you have like you race against time or you have like a limited amount of water, and then you're supposed to just like see how much you can clean within that certain time period.
Mm-hmm. So it's, and you might think like, but no, there is, because you can actually change the nozzle on your power washer. And so you have to decide, do you want to do something that's very strong, but a very, very, very small kind of stream coming out? So you're like only washing a little bit, or do you want to increase how much of an area your power washer is covering, but it's not as strong. So you might have to go over an area like four times in order to really clean it. So, SSJ 100 Matt says, wouldn't mind seeing a power wash simulator run in GDQ Silly Block. Oh, for sure. The game is The game is in early access still, though. But it does. I don't notice it. Like, I notice games that are in early access. I don't notice this. Maybe the fact that there's only really a handful of guns and upgrades, but like I don't want that to come across like a negative, because I don't think the game really needs it.
They're adding new levels all the time. They just added like a carnival level, which I haven't gotten to yet, but I saw the thing on the
I did one where you were on fucking Mars cleaning the Mars rover. And I was like, and in the mildly satisfying department, your character can jump, right? So that's how you get to some, I mean, there are ladders you can move around and things like that to get to high places, but you can also jump. But Loki, on the Mars level, when you jump, you float, you jump like low gravity, like you would on Mars. That was very fucking satisfying when that happened. I was like, oh, I'm on Mars. My jump is a little different.
That's cool. I have to try that one.
Yeah, that one was a fun. It's not in the career mode. It's like in a bonus level.
Special,
like that.
Yeah. I saw that.
So it's only difficult because there's so many little fucking parts on that thing. It's constantly going ka-ching, 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 like you're cleaning all these parts. And then, of course, you're left with like three parts and you're like, I don't know where these fucking things are. On the other nice thing is too, if you have a hard time seeing the dirt, I think this is very important for people to know. If you press the tab key, all the dirt turns fluorescent orange, and it becomes much easier to see. And so when you also
don't have to clean every single thing. It'll give it to you like at 95%.
Yeah, it'll give it to you at a pretty high percentage. So yeah. So anyway, that is my shout out and satisfaction for what is probably, I swear to God, will probably be one of my favorite games of the year, Power Wash Simulator. Like, no joke. It's just, it is a satisfying fucking gaming experience. And that's, I think, all I ask from gaming. Maybe I'm a little biased because the Power Wash Simulator team actually retweeted a tweet of mine. So I got a little semi-viral tweet. I wrote a tweet that said, hell yeah, I play first-person shooters, and it was a picture of Power Wash Simulator with me hosing down the deck, and they retweeted it. And so apparently it's caught on, so I guess that's it. I'm a first-person shooter main now. There is that. All right. So yeah, these and folks in chat, like for example, She-Hulk10 says they have a lawnmower simulator as well. Yeah, I don't think they're necessarily all done by the same company. But it's just these simulator games are just suddenly all the rage for whatever reason. So It's
they're good for content because you can do silly things in a lot of them. And so this one, though, not so much. This one got a lot of attention because Markiplier's playing it. He's like a 10, 12 like video series for it. I mean, he's just really addicted to it. So that got some popularity, but yeah, it's just a fun game.
I'll be, Bobby Blackwolf pointed out my tweet has 69 likes. Nice.
Nice.
Nobody liked my tweet. All right. So yeah, I'm loving the Power Wash sim. It's a lot of fun. Tiger Claw in chat says it's funny how a lot of simulators are based on very mundane tasks, isn't it? But it's I can't explain it. It's just so satisfying to see the sparkle when you're all done with a level. So I will be playing a lot more of this game. And yeah, like I said, probably going to end up on ironically being one of my favorite games of the year. All right. Let's move on. We have some other gaming news to get into. Let's do it. Because I don't really... Oh, I guess... Okay, I have one housekeeping little thing I should probably bring up at some point because I'm not even sure my co-hosts know. So, surprise, I will not be here the last Sunday of the month. No, because last Sunday of the month is Halloween. Oh, shit. Are we going to do a show on Halloween?
Probably not.
I didn't think about that. We might have to... Because I will not be here on the 24th for sure. So we might have to tape something in advance for one of those weeks. So, yeah, I will not be here on the 24th. I'm going to Disneyland.
And you're not taking me?
No. It's expensive. But I'm taking Alan. And I'll bring you back something if you're nice.
Okay.
Okay.
They don't have Duffy stuff anymore.
Yeah, we're going and I was like, okay, we planned that weekend to go. And I was like, all right, well, if I'm going to go down there, then I want to see, like, it's going to be right before Victoria's birthday. I want to see Victoria. So I said, Victoria, what are you doing this weekend? So of course, you know what the reply was. Well, we're going to Disneyland on this day. So I was like, all right, fuck it. We're going to. So we're doing that. And we're hoping to meet some like Twitch friends and some other IRL friends while we're down there. So it's a friend-a-thon while we're down there.
You better say hi to two of my favorite LA people.
I have a feeling I know who you're talking about. Let's talk offline. But okay. Alan is coordinating all that. So Alan probably took care of that. So, yep. All right. Anyway, let's move on. We have some more gaming news to get into. Loki.
So with the success of Super Mario Brothers and the Super Nintendo World, Universal and Nintendo are excited to announce the Seth Rogen-themed world coming to Super Nintendo World. That is, of course, Donkey Kong. I would hope they would call it Donkey Kong Country, but it's a section of the world going to be for Donkey Kong. But yeah, that is going to be something that they're working on at Universal Japan. No word necessarily when that's going to come out. But oh, yeah, opening 2024, it's going to increase the size of Super Nintendo World by 70%. Hopefully it has some better rides in, you know, the Super Nintendo World. As much as I love Mario and stuff, and the Mario Kart ride looks all right, I guess. Not as cool as the VR Mario Kart that I saw at some of the Namco places. They could use some more grown-up rides. I'm hoping that they do something like that.
So but. Tiger Claw in chat says, the fact Donkey Kong is being added to Universal Japan might be the reason why they are bringing Donkey Kong into the Super Mario animated movie. I actually totally agree with Tiger Claw here. I think I can't say that all the time, but I actually think this gives a lot of kind of fire behind the idea that a big name like Seth Rogen was cast as Donkey Kong, because that is absolutely a spinoff they're planning for the future, is a more Donkey Kong centered movie in the future. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says Donkey Kong was literally the first Mario game. Sure, but now it's the cinematic universe, and I don't think the rules have to follow a similar pattern. I don't think we have to expect a Donkey Kong movie, but I think there's a lot of interesting alignments happening that indicate between the casting of, you know, an A-lister like Seth Rogen and this new news about the park expanding to include Donkey Kong. Because surely you Nintendo fans and such as I are wondering, why isn't it Zelda? What if you're going to expand a Nintendo theme park, would you not add Zelda? That would make sense, right? That would be the biggest Mario thing. Or, okay, maybe, actually, technically, Zelda's no longer the new land. If they really wanted to do the biggest Nintendo franchise at this point, they would add an Animal Crossing world, would be the world that they would add to it. But they didn't do either of those things. And this is a movie-based theme park. So I really think that there is a I really think there's a something here where Donkey Kong is being set up to be a spinoff movie. And why not? I mean, this really could be a whole Nintendo cinematic universe. If the movie does well, why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't they do a Mario sequel, of course? Why wouldn't Wario get brought into the picture? I mean, cross your fingers and toes. He's Charles Martinet, I suppose. Those of you that are upset about him not getting cast as Mario, why wouldn't they set that up, that sort of cinematic thing? And then Donkey Kong. And then who knows where it goes from there? So anyway. Tiger Claw says, imagine King K. Rool shows up in a post-credit scene. Well, that'll all but guarantee it, right? Pod Culture says, and everything ends in Smash Brothers. You joke.
Yes, they'll have someone come up, need to talk to you about the Smash initiative.
I mean, would anyone be upset with that twist?
Nope.
Nope. So we'll see what happens. I think that might be a hard thing to pull off because I think the Pokemon movie rights are now sitting somewhere else. But it would be interesting to see if they're able to make that work out. That's for sure.
They've done ambitious before. I mean, look at Avengers Endgame.
Sure. And they ended up bringing things like Fantastic Four and Spider-Man. You know, they've gotten all those rights worked out. So anything's possible. Sure is.
Because Disney owns Ooh. Everything.
Hi, husband. Thank you. Thank you. He set down the coffee I mentioned before. What is this? Instead of putting numbers on the drinks now, they draw spooky images. They drew a spider web on mine. What is that all about? All right. Anyway, thank you. Okay, let's move on to our – oh, shit, I'm our next story. I guess I can't enjoy coffee until I read our next story.
So yeah, Rob.
Let's get to it. This story has to do with Nintendo buying another studio. Oh, boy, they've taken one out of Microsoft's playbook lately, haven't they?
Nintendo? I feel like,
Sony bought,
Nintendo.
My bad, Sony bought another studio, and they're taking a playbook out of Microsoft here because I feel like Sony has bought a lot of studios. I feel like we've talked about that a lot in the past couple months. But these are all studios, and this is no exception, where it's like, oh, I kind of thought they were involved with Sony already anyway, or like Sony had an ownership in there. It's more like making it official. So anyway, it's Blue Point Games is who they acquired this week. Blue Point Games is based out of Austin. Recently, they did the remake of Demon's Souls, which obviously was a pretty big PlayStation 5. In fact, it was really one of the only PlayStation 5 launch titles, exclusive anyway. And they also did that Shadow of the Colossus remake as well. So, there's been rumors that Sony was going to buy Blue Point right around the time that Sony bought Housemarque. A lot of people were saying they're going to buy Blue Point as well. And it turns out, yes, that is what's happening. What is not known as of yet is Blue Point going to be remastering past titles again? Because that seems to be something they do well. Or are they going to work on a new IP? We don't know what they're working on yet, but I'm sure we'll find out in the not too distant future. So anybody have any strong feelings with that?
Nope.
Yeah, it's one of those, I already thought they kind of were owned by Sony, but, you know, I guess it's making it official a little bit. They're taking their relationship to the next level. That's what it is. We knew they were dating and sleeping together. We just, now they're taking it to the next level where, you know, Sony is continuing their, what do you call the polyamory sect? They're continuing to expand that. And their sister wives with yet another studio. All right, forget these analogies. Let's go to the next story.
I actually have an emergency announcement.
Okay.
You know, one of my favorite channels is The Boundary Break.
I did not.
There's a Dead by Daylight one now.
He just
posted it.
That's right. That's the one where they go outside the different, they use like the free cam stuff to explore different areas and go outside the boundaries.
And
of maps
now
and
you don't
right?
even have to be headed on in Dead Dog for it to happen. Anyway, this has been rumors off and on, mostly wishful thinking, so we thought, except now we're getting more reputable reporting about it. So Konami is going to be following through with their post-restructure plan to bring back some classic game franchises, some of their biggest ones, including Metal Gear, Castlevania, and Silent Hill. They're trying to, at least this is what the talk is. The sources are saying that the new Castlevania game is going to be a reimagining of the series, and that it's currently internally in development, Konami Japan. They also are getting some support from external studios.
I hope lots of support from external studios.
There also looks like they're working with Virtuos, so we'll see. That's actually trying to do the various re-releases for Dark Souls and all of that. But there was some talk about Blue Point working on a Metal Gear Solid remake. So we'll see. I mean, things haven't looked all that positive right now. And then there also are talks about multiple Silent Hill games that are under development. So we'll see.
I have a couple of questions with this. Number one.
I have a couple of shrugs.
Number one, where the fuck is Suikoden? We always have these discussions about classic Konami franchises coming back, and all the love is Castlevania, Metal Gear, Silent Hill. Sure. Those are all good franchises. But can we not have Suikoden uttered in that same sentence of great Konami franchises? Obviously, I'm not picking on you, Dark Soccer. I'm picking on everything. Like, I'm picking on Konami, of course. Why isn't Suikoden part of this conversation? But I guess at least we have that whole Ayuden Chronicles thing, and I think we're all just prayer circling it doesn't turn out like the Mega Man Kickstarter thing that flopped.
Mighty Number
9.
Yes,
that one. I think we're just all prayer circling it doesn't go that way. Which it doesn't look that way, but, you know. So, yeah, that's my first question. Where is Suikoden? My second question is, this rumor we're hearing, I mean, I feel like we're hearing this rumor every year. And again, I don't fault Dark Soccer for bringing it up now, because the reason is, and why it's relevant again, is that it's more and more respectable or reputable blogs that are picking it up. This is no longer like so-and-so said on Twitter, or my uncle posted on Reset Era, or whatever that forum is called now. Like, it's not those types of things. This is like sources that have confirmed things for us before confirming that this is what's happening. So I guess we'll see at next E3.
Yeah.
So let me ask this question, because we're all longtime Konami fans. Oh, by the way, I left out an important... See, damn it, I knew I was going to forget something in my gaming week. So I'll bring it up here, because it's Konami. A very important game I played in my gaming week. I went to Concord this week because I went to a concert in the middle of the week. I went to see Alanis Morissette and Garbage. I was living my best 90s life out in Concord this week. But since we were killing a little time before the concert, we went to round one. So I played Beatmania 2DX Beastover, I think is what it's called, the newest.
Beastrover,
that one. I played that. It's 2DX 28th style is what it is now, believe it or not.
Jeez.
I know. Remember
when... I thought the pinnacle was like 7th style.
I know. Remember when we were driving to Arcade Infinity to play 10th style? Like, yeah. And now it's on 28th.
And they were like, this isn't all that great.
I will say, so they've redone the machine, and I don't know if it was redone for this one or the last one. I don't remember, but they've redone the machine, so I got to play on the new machine. It's great because it's a better monitor now. It's a more like high definition monitor. The cabinet actually has like sides that are built onto it to help contain the sound. And okay, Heroic Verse. Thank you, Orange Right. See, I knew some of you that are better at following the recent news would pick that up there. So yeah, it was Heroic Verse. Okay, yes. So they changed the cabinet with that. And here's the best part. There is now a monitor below the monitor that's like a touchpad. That's where they moved all the sliders to for the sound. So you know me, I take all the sliders and I max volume, and then you press equalizer. You don't have to hit the effector button to get what you want anymore, is my point. Everything's controlled on that bottom panel. You put in your passcodes for EMUs down there and all that other stuff too. So I thought the new cabinet was almost better than anything else. But I also played some of the new songs. I kind of like, because, you know, if I play a 2DX cabinet, I just want to go and play old songs all day. But I really forced myself to play the new stuff. And actually, I enjoyed the stuff I played. There's like 2DX Red Theme is in there. I think it's a remix, but that was really good. So, sorry, I know I'm meddling the story a little bit, but that was an important thing for me to throw out, is that I did get to play that this week. And Bobby Blackwolf is asking, did you relax and enjoy the concert? Yes, I did. And I had a very good time. And it's been 5 days now and I don't feel sick. So I think that's a good sign. It was an all outdoor venue anyway. But the interesting thing, just a quick tangent about where we were at. So Concord is in Contra Costa County. I did not realize they mandated this. We had to have our vaccine cards checked to go into round one. And again, when we went to go eat at the restaurant next door, they checked our vaccine card.
I'm so glad to hear that.
I'm fine with that. I was just more, it was the pleasant surprise. Like, yes, I will show you my vaccine card to get in here. But the concert venue didn't require it because they're outdoor. The others are indoor. However, my understanding is as of October 4th, the concert venue will also be asking for those sorts of things. So I thought that was interesting. Very, very interesting. Where was I? Oh, yes. The tidal revivals for Konami and all this stuff. So, obviously Bomani and Jason kind of referenced it tongue in cheek in the intro. Bomani's still doing fine for Konami. Nothing's wrong there. It's all these other home console titles where it's like, damn, we wish they would really put themselves on the right track and all that stuff. I don't know if I trust Konami themselves to do it. And I think, Loki, when you said that very tongue-in-cheek about, I hope they're getting help from outside sources, big same. I mean, the Castlevania Advance Collection is pretty good, but Konami sent that out to another developer to put that all together, and they were games that already existed anyway. So, because the things Konami develops in-house? Well, Loki, why don't we go to our next story?
Yeah, let's talk about that. Let's talk about the wonderful things
Let's talk about our concerns.
They develop in-house.
Please bring in Exhibit A.
As I had mentioned during our release date segment last week, that Konami's eFootball game is coming out. That's right. That's the game that replaces Pro Evolution Soccer. And it adds a bunch of microtransactions because it's free to play and you can pre-order microtransactions. And apparently the game is hot garbage.
Oh my God. I am so shocked. Are we shocked? Clap if you're shocked.
It like the character models look like garbage. It doesn't play well. And it's funny because like they're talking about like some of the things that they needed to be fixed. And, you know, a lot of it is like to a ridiculous extent. It's like the entire game, basically. So I'm not really sure what the issue was with this, why it got released in this state, but I mean, it just looks absolutely
terrible. I know. It's because Konami executives are incompetent boo-boo idiots that are more concerned with getting something out on a certain date to sell a bunch of pre-orders than what the quality of the game is. Do I win a prize?
Probably.
You win a no prize.
So
you win a copy of this game. Boo!
Yeah, as expected, they came out and they said they've acknowledged that there's been some reports of problems that users have with experience with cutscenes, facial expressions, movements of players, and the behavior of the ball. That's the entire game right there. I mean, like, I don't really know what more you would have in there. They've acknowledged that there are issues. They put out their, like, little...
We apologize for problems with the soccer ball in our soccer game.
Yeah, it says we've received lots of feedback requests regarding the game balance that includes pass-speed defense operation. We also like to acknowledge there have been many reports of the other issues we just said, we are also very sorry for the problems. We want to assure everyone it will take all the concerns seriously and strive to improve the current situation. We will be continuously updated. Quality will be improved. Blah, 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 blah. Dumb. It's really dumb. I don't know why they thought it was okay to put this out like this. It's a free-to-play game, too. Like people, like, you want them to play this. This is their initial impression of it. They're not going to come back to this crap. I don't know. So it's gotten, it's down, I think, at like to a massively negative scores on Steam, unsurprisingly.
I would like to put out a special message to anyone listening to this show who might be affiliated with the Italian Serie B, the Russian Premier League, the French Ligue 1, the AFC Champions League, the Dutch Eredivisie, and the Thai League. If you represent any of those soccer leagues and you're listening, excuse me, football leagues, and you're listening to this show, please pull your license. Please pull your license. Do what Stranger
Things... They're doing you a disservice.
Do what Stranger Things did to Dead by Daylight and pull your license.
You know the only reason they did that for Dead by Daylight was because of Netflix.
Do what Catan did to Niantic and pull your license.
So I just want to point out, like, they're talking about putting out new games of these franchises. Let's talk about the track record of Konami. So Metal Gear Solid, we had Metal Gear Solid, was it? I don't even remember what it's called because it's been blocked from my memory. Crappy zombie game, Metal Gear Solid. The alternate Metal Gear Solid 5 universe thing that they did. Hot garbage. So there's that. The reboot Konami, or the Contra game that they made, that was also hot garbage, the 3D one that they did. The only thing that's been good...
Hardcore.
No, it wasn't Contra Hardcore. It was...
No, wait. That was the Genesis game from back in the day.
Yeah, that was the Genesis one.
Sorry, no, it's Rogue Core. Thank you. It was close. It was close.
It's just... I don't trust them to make a good game anymore, unfortunately. Like, I just don't. So... I'm not excited. Like, if they were to announce a new
Unless
Silent
it's
Hill game...
But the Bomani's
all
right.
They could even... They couldn't even get the remasters of Silent Hill to be correct. So, like, what makes me think they're going to be able to tackle a brand new Silent Hill game? It's going to be garbage.
Although, I would argue, and I've said, we've been doing this show a long time, and I said this many, many years ago. We've all said this many years ago. I mean, Konami's doing all right with the Bomani stuff. There's other companies that would do better.
Yeah.
And you know things have come full circle. You know things have come full circle when I'm sitting here saying, you know, one of the people I would really like to see have the Bomani license? The folks behind Step Maniacs. And that's all I'm going to say about
that. I mean, their games practically have the Bomani license at this point. They have all of the license tracks in there.
Because they played the long game and they've been playing it very well. Anyway, all right, let's move on and talk about our next story, which has to do with Nintendo rumors that never stop. Never, never, never stop. Let's talk about a 4K Switch. Because a report came out this week from Bloomberg, who publishes a lot of rumors about Nintendo. And Bloomberg is technically an investor type of magazine, so they have a reason to be getting into these types of things because they post about these rumors and stuff for the sake of investors. So that's why they get into this whole thing, whether they're right or they're wrong. Bloomberg posted a report that said Nintendo gave at least 11 developers a toolkit to create 4K games for the Switch. This doesn't usually happen because usually Nintendo says we do not comment on speculation or rumors. However, I don't know if it's because Bloomberg is a thing geared toward investors. I don't know if Nintendo is sick of this shit.com. I don't know if Nintendo is just Nintendo chose violence this day. I don't know what it is, but Nintendo decided to put out a statement saying, no, this report is not true. And that is from the official Nintendo Twitter. A news report on September 30th. On Twitter, falsely claims that Nintendo is supplying tools to drive game development for a Nintendo Switch with 4K support. To ensure correct understanding among our investors and customers, we notice the way that's ordered, by the way. Investors and customers. This is very important. Y'all understand the key difference here and why Nintendo said something this time. It's because they're worried about investors.
Because their stock price could go down if they're expecting something to come out, and it's not going to come out.
Ding, ding, ding. We want to clarify that this report is not true. We also want to restate that, as we announced in July, we have no plans for any new model other than Nintendo Switch OLED model, which will launch on October 8th, 2021, which is very soon, by the way. Again, the Bloomberg report said Nintendo handed out 4K toolkits. They asked developers to create games with 4K resolutions. They named one of the publishers. Zynga was one of the ones that supposedly had that 4K kit. I guess Farmville's come a long way. No, Zynga's doing a Star Wars game, aren't they?
I don't know.
I think they are.
I don't really pay attention to what they do anymore.
So anyway, and I think everybody's kind of waiting for the 4K Nintendo Switch, but it is just interesting that Nintendo decided to shoot that one down. Now, all of that being said, even reading Nintendo's tweet and taking all of that into account, I believe Bloomberg in this one.
It's probably because it's not Nintendo Switch.
I sure do. Loki playing word police here, but you're on the right track. Nintendo's been exploring 4K, and I said this when they, again, I don't like to turn this show into a game of I said this, but damn it, I'm going to take my credit where I can. When they announced the OLED Switch, what did I say? I said, they're probably not releasing the 4K Switch because of all these stock problems with computer chips that the PlayStation 5 and the Xbox Series X are having. They can't do it. And what are they saying is the reason why they didn't end up doing the 4K Switch? That. Exactly that.
Because of reasons.
Yes. And that specific reason, basically. So, again, I think a 4K Switch, absolutely. A Nintendo device that runs 4K is absolutely out on the table. But I think now, Loki, I'm going to give you credit for this one because I think you're right. The way they're playing this game is, well, it's not a Switch. It's our next console that's going to have a new name.
Or they can just lie about it and just say whatever, you know? What are they going to do? I mean... Yeah. If they're not ready or anywhere near releasing it or announcing
the Super Switch.
Switch U.
Interesting. I saw that on a Grindr profile once. All right. Anyway, let's move on. Next story, Dark Sagra.
So, the game that everybody's playing, every fucking body playing.
Not me.
That I can't play is New World. And I'm really surprised it's doing as well as it is. I mean, they hit some kind of jackpot with it. It's an MMORPG. It's doing well. They basically, it is a colonization themed game, but they've had things done to it to, I guess, way tone that down. They've brought in some tribal consultants to make things less offensive to Native Americans and First Nations peoples.
This game's been delayed like 6 times before it came out, and I think this was one of the reasons they delayed it, was to fix some of these story problems.
Mm-hmm. But now New World has exceeded 750,000 concurrent players on Steam.
Wow.
And is being watched by a bunch of people on Twitch. I mean, basically, the only times I'm actually watching the game is really just to chat with my friends, because I'm glad they're having a good time. But I really just hang out in their channels just to hang out with my friends. They haven't put out any sales figures yet, but it's been pretty popular. They do have some really long queues. I was hearing people complain about that, and there's already caps on, I guess, what their guilds are. I think it's like 100 members, and I know that the one that a lot of our mutual friends are in has hit a cap.
Yeah.
a lot of servers are full now. But it's the success story. I mean, they announced three games in 2016, which was New World, Breakaway, and Crucible. Breakaway was canceled. Crucible was released, then removed, then canceled. And then there were other games that, under their code names Nova and Intensity, that were just dumped. No rhyme or reason. So this one does seem to be doing the trick. The reception's kind of mixed on the game, but the people who I talk to who are playing it are really enjoying it, really getting into it. There's actually a quote on here. That they were, I'm sorry, I completely lost my train of thought. The Amazon studios were also having that sort of bro culture thing going on. Mm-hmm. And then there were four different female game developers said that their worst experiences in sexism were at Amazon.
Yikes.
And being ignored and undermined. Yeah. So that makes me not want to support the game. Really?
Well,
but at the same time, I also can't.
Yeah.
So it's easy.
Amazon's kind of had miss after miss, and this was probably the title that was going to make or break the studio. And so it sounds like it's caution on the side of make. However, obviously these other issues that you brought up, these are things that Amazon has to face, you know. Now, well, I think they already have really had to, you know, especially in the wake of everything else that's going on. You know, I don't even think it made our show roll tonight, but there was a pretty big development in that Activision Blizzard thing about how Blizzard has to pay a lot of money, like $18 million out of this whole, well, it's actually not, it's like a sixth of what Bobby Kotick makes in a year. But they have to pay out this type of settlement and this sort of thing. So I think every company that's being called out on this is having to take a look at that sort of culture right now.
I don't know that we have this in the show roll, but it's listed here.
Sure.
About Laura Miel, I think is how her last name is pronounced.
Doesn't sound familiar.
Was promoted to a COO at EA.
Oh, interesting.
And according to this, that, and I'm going to quote, that effectively makes her the most powerful woman in gaming by far. Take-Two has a female CFO. Miel was also, she manages EA's 20-plus studios, highest position that worked on corporate video game strategy. And it looks like, yeah, she's now the boss. Chief Operations Officer.
Well, good for her. You know what's interesting? EA is kind of like, you know, with as much shit as they've gotten over the years, they're not really being brought up in these conversations, which is a good thing. You know, like EA is, you're not really hearing about problems at EA. So hopefully that's a sign that, you know, they're doing something right in that regard, which should be applauded and commended. I'm not going to say it doesn't mean it isn't happening, but it seems we're not hearing anything. So we'll see. Back to the New World thing. I've noticed a lot of streamers I watch are on this right now too, and that's cool. I just can't pick up a second MMO right now. There's an expansion less than 50 days away from Final Fantasy 14. I know I'm going to be into that. That is what I play right now. It'll let me, you know, if I kind of wait till the end of the year, it allows a little time to see, does this New World thing last? Do people stick with it? What quality of life changes do they implement? And if people are still as enthused about New World at the end of the year as they are now, then I'll probably consider it at that point. That's kind of where my head is at with that whole thing. So, all right. I think we're going to move on to our next story. Just to hedge up, you guys, I'm going to go AFK for a minute. Sorry, so you might have to buy a little time. So if you guys have random questions in chat, please ask them. I'll be right back.
All right. We need more reasons to be mad at Amazon. Let's talk about how Amazon is scalping Xbox Series X consoles. This is actually a thing that's happening right now on Amazon. So if you go to Amazon.com and you look for an Xbox Series X, you can see that they are selling used consoles, actually fulfilled through Amazon Warehouse and by Amazon, or sold by Amazon Warehouse. And they're selling them at a markup of, I mean, it's almost $1,000. I think it was like $984 is what they had it listed as, which is ridiculous, considering that's almost double the price for the console. I mean, I suppose that they're well within the right to do that, but I just think it's kind of a really scammy thing to be, you know, scalping consoles on your marketplace. I could understand if a third-party seller was doing that, but being that it's Amazon themselves, I don't know. So, I don't know if Amazon's come out to say anything about, you know, comment on it or anything. I doubt that they have, but, you know, I think people are still biting the bullet and buying these consoles anyways, even for this markup, because they don't know when they're going to be able to get one next at well, certainly not at retail, but
it's a captive audience almost.
It is. I wouldn't be surprised if they're doing the same thing for the PlayStation 5. I haven't seen that yet, but it is kind of terrible that they're doing this, at least. I don't know why you would sell your used console to Amazon. I know I've seen the advertisements on their site where they try to get you to sell a used console to them or trade it in or something like that. But yeah, I would definitely steer clear of that. Let's not support them in this sense as it is. Just be patient.
That's pretty much what I'm doing. If I see something in the wild that I might want that's hard to get, then yeah, I'll go for it then. If I don't get it then c'est la vie. I save money.
Yeah, but Bobby, you say that this isn't Amazon selling them, but it is saying that it is sold by Amazon Warehouse. Now, I understand that Amazon, you know, they have a lot of like third-party sellers that fulfill through the warehouse, but this is actually saying it's being sold by Amazon through Amazon Warehouse. And I mean, it doesn't have another seller name on it. Amazon Warehouse is their kind of, they do sell some wholesale stuff out of there, like used, you know, stuff like that. I open box maybe, but I think this is actually Amazon in this case. It doesn't, since it doesn't have another store name on it, and all I see is Amazon for all the different, you know, the seller and where it's fulfilled through. I'm assuming that it is Amazon.
No.
But I guess, I don't know. I'm not sure.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to be Switzerland in this, and I will just ask the source if I really cared that much to know.
Okay.
Yeah. But I guess Rob is still doing his thing, so, you know. Well, mine's next thing is classic games, so.
Oh.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm back. Hi.
Okay. Welcome back.
Are we good to go to the
now
next
it's thing? My turn.
Oh, sorry. Did you want
Bobby,
to talk about
how can I how
no,
can I
no,
assume
it's my turn to go AFK and get chocolate.
Oh,
I was gonna say, like, how can I assume it's not Amazon selling this? Because I mean, it literally says, you know, that this is sold by Amazon Warehouse, ships from Amazon.com. Like, I don't get how I would assume that this is a third party seller through Amazon Warehouse. I get, like, you can have a third-party seller, and they'll have their seller name sold by this person, you know, ships from Amazon.com, whereas they store, you know, some of the inventory for them. They actually warehouse that, and they ship it straight out of their warehouses. But, like, I don't know. In this case, I don't know. I don't think this is a third-party seller in this sense. Agree to disagree, I guess.
Why can't we just walk into Target and buy one of these off the shelf? All right, yes I know chip shortages, but it's just annoying. All right, I thought, honest question, I thought they were supposed to like pass legislation to like try to work on this issue. Wasn't that a thing that they were talking about, that they wanted to
there's no legislation being passed anymore.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Good point. All right, moving on. Well, at least we know this game's coming. Monster Hunter Rise will be making its way to the PC. It's going to come out on January 12th of 2022. Apparently there's some collaborations that are going to be happening with that, with Ghosts and Goblins and Sonic the Hedgehog. How Sonic the Hedgehog and Monster Hunter are going to come together, I'm not sure. That could be very interesting, though. But anyhow, There's also an expansion that's on its way, Monster Hunter Rise Sunbreak. I think we saw that in the latest Nintendo Direct, and that will be on its way to the PC version as well. That's due out summer of 2022. The Ghosts and Goblins collaboration, the Brave Knight Arthur from Ghosts and Goblins will be in the game. After you complete an event quest, you can take on Arthur's iconic armor, and the throwing knives transform into lances. So I guess you just go around kind of like you're Arthur, even though you're not actually Arthur. That's interesting. And as far as the details for Sonic the Hedgehog and the 30th anniversary, which I guess is also next year, all they're saying is it's happening. And the event quest will be out in November. So that's a ways out. So very interesting with that. So I'm sure there will be some people that will be excited to check that out on the PC when that comes out. Because it's probably going to look a little better than it does on the Switch. You know, just especially if you have a beefy PC. We'll see. So, all right. Let's move on. We're going to go to a good old classic segment here, and we won't talk about shiny new PC games, but we'll talk about some weird things.
Fucking weird games.
That's right. Let's get to this next segment with this little interlude.
Now it's time to travel back to a simpler time, where I'll dive into the vault and pull out a classic and tell you about it. It's time for the classic game of the week.
This is one big flag, Dark Sakura. What did you pick for the flag tonight?
I picked the Sega Toilet, T-O-Y-L-E-T. If you're not familiar with what this... I can't stop laughing because it's so stupid.
This is wow.
So they have a little game system at urinals. First of all, why's it got to be just for the dick possessing? I'm sorry, that's sexist as all fuck. But it's an interactive urinal system that was developed by Sega AM1. They have LCD screens and pressure sensors. They do show like ads between the games, but basically you can play the games and store your score on a flash drive. They are installed in 4 stations for Tokyo Metro, including Akihabara, Soga, and Ikebukuro. There also were some in Tokyo Joypolis. So the different mini games on them is one's called Mannequin Piss, which is basically named after the statue of the urinating boy from Brussels, seeing just how hard you can pee. There's Graffiti Eraser, where you're going to use your pee to power wash. Power washing simulator, y'all.
No.
There's one called The North Wind, The Sun, and Me, where you are playing the wind trying to lift a girl's skirt by blowing air at her. Fucking sexist garbage. The strength of the wind is how forceful the pee is. And then there's Battle Milk from Nose, where you compete against the person who last used the urinal to compare how strong your pee stream is. They are represented on screen as jets of milk squirting out of the noses of 2 characters standing in a sumo ring. And if you pee harder, you win. You knock the opponent out of the ring. This is the most stupid thing I've ever heard, especially how sexist these are. There also are a few other types of interactive urinal things, not just by Sega. There's a British company called Captive Media that installed them. They also use infrared detection for temperature, so it's kind of weird. But they have them installed at the exhibit in Balham, London, and Tabush Bar in Cambridge. So you basically use your pee as a directional thing. One's called On the Piste, which is a skiing game where you knock over penguins. And another one called Clever Dick, which is a pub quiz game. You have to answer true or false with your pee. There's a few others. One's called Place to Pee that was formerly called Pee Station. Sorry, Plea Station, which plea means toilet in Dutch. I think Pee Station would have been funnier. But it it's more interactive pissing in a terminal. There's also called the Interactive Urinal Communicator, which is an advertising device. And it basically is just trying to sell you shit with your pee. But, of course, the best of them all is the Sega Toilet, because they're terrible humans who came up with this. And that's it.
Did you say sell?
Seriously, install a Nintendo in the ladies' room, please.
Did you say it sells you shit with your pee? Like, I'm reminded of that South Park episode, The Poo That Took a Pee. Did anyone?
It's novel, which is why I did it. But at the same time, it is intensely sexist.
It's just I'm exhausted. And, like, this whole segment has made me exhausted today, Dark Sakura.
Like, I don't understand.
What's that?
If you're going to pee, why it should be made into a game?
How long are people peeing for?
Next year, we're going to have, like, the poop strength test or something?
I know.
Where
the
bigger
to, like,
a shit you lay, the higher score you get?
I'm trying to think of places I want to be less than a public restroom.
Not to mention, like, you know, like, flashing screen, you know, images and sounds are just going to draw the attention of the person next to you to look at your screens. Like, I'm sorry, that's even more uncomfortable.
Is peeing in Japan naturally competitive?
I don't know.
Everything's competitive. That's the stereotype. Boys.
Tiger Claw in chat says this is something they should probably add in movie theater restrooms, because you can probably get a really good score because of all the pee you had to hold in while watching a movie. While I completely understand and respect your logic, Tiger Claw, I don't ever want to see this again. Like, no, nobody should consider putting this anywhere. In the trash.
No.
That's where it should go. The bin. Put it in the bin. That's where
Konami is feverishly writing down these ideas for their next game.
All I can say is no.
Anyway.
The answer is no.
There it is. Your fucking weird arcade game of the month. And boy, is it weird. The Toilet. Yep. That's T-O-Y-L-E-T. Dark Tetsuya says this is in Yakuza 2, apparently. Of course. Of course it is. All right. Let's move on. Let's travel around. Let's cleanse the palate, please. Let's wash that segment away with some rapid fire news. Let's flush on to our next segment. Loki.
So, D3 has announced that Earth Defense Force 6 has been delayed to 2022, to which I say, I forgot that there was Earth Defense Force 6 coming out. Also, they all look the same. And I really wish they would innovate on their game, because it's, like, literally the same game that they've released 6 times now.
Quite the read coming from you, because you're a fan of that franchise normally.
I am. It's stupid fun. But, like, their games look all the same. Like, it's always the same. Like, always the same. I just wish they would do something different with it. Whatever. It's fine. And then, speaking of companies not doing anything different... apparently, still, even though we kind of figured that it's coming, the Grand Theft Auto, the Trilogy Definitive Edition has popped up on the Korean ratings board. And, indicating that, yes, it's probably coming out soon. Don't care that it's coming out soon. Wish Rockstar Games would do something different, please. Thank you. Release a new game, please. It's,
like,
been years.
You'd take a new table tennis at this point, right?
Like, it's been absolute. I would not take a new table tennis game. but, like, I get it. Red Dead Redemption 2, pretty great game. But it's still been years since that's come out, too. So, like, we're ready for a new game.
All right.
Please.
Moving on. Dark Sakura, what do you have? Besides the mute button pressed.
I'm hitting it, and I said, oh, shit. So, that's what. Konami is doing something cool. I mean, they want money, so this is a cool thing. They're doing a Castlevania soundtrack collection in December. It is actually the orders are already up for it. It started September 27th. If you order them, you will also get a special 14-track CD that has the MIDI arrangements of songs from Castlevania Dracula X. There are 4 graphic t-shirt designs on Amazon Japan, which I may have to look at. And it's so many discs, y'all. It's so many. There's like 2 sets full of delightfulness, and I want it. The release date for this will be December 15th, 2021 in Japan. Castlevania Grimoire of Souls is back in Apple Arcade as an exclusive. So I might start streaming that. Also, the holodeck is happening, Rob.
Everything we do in gaming is one step closer.
Well, now there's this thing called the Dream Cube that is... it's like a room with different screens in it, but I can only see this getting better. There's one that's like playing soccer or football, where you actually kick your ball at targets. It's a giant video game. I mean, you could you kick it right into the wall as hard as you want to, basically. You know, they are already signing deals with the NBA and Manchester United. There are already 16 Dream Cubes that are set up for the Manchester U fans United across China. It's a 256 square foot virtual reality room, like an interactive cubicle. You're in VR with no headset. Which, honestly, it sounds to me like I would just get super motion sick in it. But it is closer to the holodeck. It moves pixels at 240 frames a second, which is like 4 to 8 times as much as most video games. You've got, like, karaoke things in there. You have... The back wall is left open so that your friends can watch or swap in on some of those things. But... It like has all the head tracking. It's pretty interesting. It was it started development in 1992 when the University of Illinois developed the CAVE, which is CAVE Automatic Immersion Environment, and it's gone from there. So keep your eyes open. We're getting close to there's even like a graffiti mode. That's fun. So yeah, look for the Dream Cube.
Can I clean up the graffiti, though, with my urine streams? That's really a big question.
Or my power washer. Whichever you prefer.
I hate it here.
Dark Sakura is looking for the eject button.
I hate it here.
No, you don't. Bobby Blackwolf says the 240 frames per second will help you not get sick. Yeah, I guess that'll help a little bit with some of that. So.
Maybe.
That's right. I'm only interested in this thing if I can play Power Washing Simulator with a power washer, not what Loki was referring to. I never want that brought up again.
They really do need a VR mode for that game. I would be down.
Yeah, I'm. While I'm usually against, like, we don't have to VR everything, that one would be kind of fun. Yeah, it would be fun. All right. If that was it, I think it was. Let's go to our world release dates, and we're going to travel around the world and check out some releases coming out quite soon. Loki, what's out this week?
So this week we've got, it looks like, Hell Let Loose, and that is on PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X. Alan Wake Remastered on PC, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X. BPM Bullets Per Minute, PlayStation 4 and Xbox One on that. Exophobia on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X. Jet the Far Shore on PC, PlayStation 4, and PlayStation 5. Lego Marvel Super Heroes on Nintendo Switch, which is weird because I swear to God that game's already out. I guess that's the original one that they're bringing back. God, that's super old. This one's actually very exciting. Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X. Very excited to see that one. Super Monkey Ball Banana Mania on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X. Far Cry 6 on PC, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, Xbox Series X, and Stadia. Metroid Dread on Nintendo Switch, and Tetris Effect Connected on Nintendo Switch. That's it.
This is a busy week.
It is a busy week.
A lot of these releases like snuck up on us. I forgot that Nickelodeon thing was happening so soon. We are in the fourth quarter. I know. I knew Metroid was October, but I forgot it was like early October. Like, you know, we're getting a lot this week.
And I should mention, though, you probably won't ever find one. The Nintendo Switch OLED is also coming out this week.
Well, good luck if you're going after one of those. Let's go to Japan right now. Get on the plane. Japanese releases this week on the Nintendo Switch. Shuen no Verche Error Salvation in regular and limited edition. Super Monkey Ball. It's in English, but it is getting an official Japanese release. That is this week as well on the Switch. Lyrica and Lyrica 2 Stars Align in a regular and limited edition. Doki Doki Literature Club Plus is out this week as well. Astria Ascending in a regular and limited edition, regular and special edition. That's really the same thing. Also out this week in Japan. And of course, the OLED Nintendo Switch. Also out this week in Japan, as is Metroid Dread is getting a release along with all the amiibo that come with it as well. So it's a very, very busy week with the hardware release and all that stuff in Japan. So those of you that like to import, you know, maybe you're going to pick up one of the cool little limited. I don't think they have anything that special we don't have here, but there's a lot of peripherals and things like that. And like the third party cases and stuff that might be a little harder to find here. Quickly seeing what's going on the PlayStation 5. It's a big week for the Switch, but the PlayStation 5 has a few things as well. The Super Monkey Ball I talked about earlier is also out on PS5. Doki Doki Literature Club Plus, as well as Astria Ascending in regular and limited edition, is out this week. Far Cry 6 gets a Japanese release this week as well. And Back for Blood is something to look out for also in Japan this week on the 8th. Dark Sakura, how about Europe?
We have on the 5th, we have Alan Wake Remastered. We have Super Monkey Ball Banana Mania. We have on the 7th, Far Cry 6. On the 8th, Knockout Home Fitness, Metroid Dread, Alpaca Ball All-Stars. Sounds adorable. Back for Blood Deluxe Edition. And that's it for this week.
All right. E3VL in our chat over at twitch.tv/VogNetwork says, don't forget Emmy, E-M-M-I, last character DLC for Smash Brothers Ultimate. Do we get that reveal this week as well? It's October 8th,
right? I think
that is
this week, yeah.
So we'll know that before our next show. Oh, that's exciting. I wonder what that's... Although I disagree with E3VL on who it will be, but it could literally be anything. So it's not... Your suggestion has just as much of a chance as anyone else's. So there's that. Oh, it's October 5th. It's even sooner. So, gosh, we're going to know real soon who that last character is. And everybody's going to say, boy, Sakurai gave in to Waluigi. What did you say?
I said, I don't remember when the Nintendo Direct for the Animal Crossing stuff was. I think that's around the same time, too.
Maybe that's the one that was on the 8th that I was mixing up.
Maybe.
So, yeah, we're going to get a lot of big Nintendo updates this week. This is a big week for Nintendo. I mean, technically, the OLED Switch is a bit of a new system. I mean, it's, you know. E3VL says they did not announce a date, and Mike Def's confirming that. So they just said October. They gave the vague window.
Maybe they'll announce a date on this one.
I wouldn't plan on it. If Nintendo's proven anything, it's that they can announce it the night before, and the internet will still be talking about it. It doesn't matter.
They'd be like, wait, Animal Crossing Direct, why didn't you announce a new Zelda game?
That'll be Twitter's job. Of course it will. All right, let's get back into some other news. Loki.
All right, well, speaking of console shortages, we're getting word, or at least, I guess, reassurances from Xbox VP of Gaming, Phil Spencer, that it's not going to be easy to find consoles anytime soon. So they're saying that they're expecting the console shortage to go into 2022. because, of course, chip shortages. And unfortunately, it is something that's going to be not resolved definitely this calendar year, and most likely probably going well into next calendar year. So, I mean, but you probably already knew that.
Well, it's still sad to hear that reality, especially with another holiday season. I mean, think about it. This will be the third Christmas that those systems are impossible to get.
Yeah, I don't like being reminded that, you know, that there's still console shortages out there, I guess. But it'd be nice to have a PlayStation 5, but yeah. I'm in no hurry.
Yeah, I'm at that point as well. It's like, I'll just get one when I get one. Whatever. All right. Bobby said we had two Christmases since November 20. Why can't I math? You're right. This is only the second Christmas. In my head, we've been talking. Okay, I'm staring at 2022 on the screen, and so my brain is going that way. No, I can't math today. You got it. But still, even the fact that it's a second Christmas, and who knows if they say it's continuing into 2022, maybe we are looking at three Christmases. Maybe I'm not wrong yet. So
yeah, I mean, we're gonna have all those consoles that are gonna get scalped, and then, you know, Amazon will flip them for $3,000 each.
All right,
to pay for their you know, their Twitch promotions.
All right, well, something that's going to be trying to come back to some sense of normalcy is the Game Awards. The Game Awards, where, of course, they announce, you know, Jeff Keighley's pretty good at getting a lot of good big winner announcements and trailers and things like that. It's going to be happening in person. The ceremony is going to happen December 9th in Los Angeles, live and in person. It's going to happen at the Microsoft Theater. No word yet on any type of COVID precautions. Maybe they're kind of banking. The numbers are going down, and it's December, so maybe they won't. And it's being held in California, which has a lot of strict stuff anyway, as I was talking about before. I imagine they're going to require vaccines to get in. That's going to be a no brainer for something like this in California. In LA, it's LA County, and I think LA County's putting in all those rules. So I think that's almost goes without saying. You're going to have that, and probably masks indoors. I mean, just really depends where we're at come December, I guess. But so it's probably going to look like that. But other than the masks and the vaccines, it'll be a relatively normal ceremony. I'm going to be honest. Kind of want to go. Like, if I can do it, like, reasonably and get down, because the public can buy tickets, right? Or get tickets?
I would assume so.
And the last time we saw that venue in like 2019 show, it was like half empty. you could see it was like half empty in there. I kind of want to go. Like, am I weird for thinking that? Would you guys want to go if you could?
I would love to get out of the house.
I'm giving up on going to California Extreme, which is the 16th.
That's like in a couple weeks. Yeah. Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know. I have to see how everything is.
Loki, we could do...
I don't trust other people. I'll put it that way.
I hear you. But, you know, if the venue requires precautions, then I feel a lot better about it. Then it's
I'll tell you what, I do want to go to TwitchCon.
You got so much time for that. TwitchCon's that way out. I mean, we are still dealing with COVID in the same manner as we are today, like, it's like,
with the idiots around us?
Yeah, I know. All right.
That would be fun to do that. I really need to stream more on Twitch, though, in order to take advantage of that. But I'd still like to see people there.
And of course, the Game Awards is broadcast everywhere. And they're going to be back at the Microsoft Theater. They are saying additional details on health and safety will be in the coming weeks. And of course, Jeff Keighley is the show will adhere to the best practices and guidance from the local health officials, et cetera, et cetera. You can bank on, because it's in LA County, it's going to be the strictest precautions that the law allows. That's just how it works with certain parts of California. So. SG100 Matt says, Rob, if you go, you got to dress up like full gown or suite. Don't tempt me, because I'll just look at the types of things that Lil Nas X has been wearing to different shows. And he's a much better looking guy than me and in much better shape.
I'll get some aluminum foil and we can wrap you up.
I think he's inherited the Prince fashion mantle.
Well, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. The print. Well, and then, of course, you also have other folks like, oh, my God, why can't I remember his name? Billy Porter, you know, has been kind of doing that.
That man is beautiful.
Yeah. So anyway.
And I'm sorry, I did cry at that scene in Pose.
I've only seen the first few episodes of Pose, but I don't watch a lot of TV at all.
I sobbed.
Bobby in chat says, I'd want to go. Godfrey from Gamertag Radio is going. Oh, that's cool. I really want to go. Loki, what if like we drove down that day and I got you back by the next day? Like, do you think you could swing it?
When is it again?
December 9th. It's in the middle of the week, so we'd have to take like 2 days off work, but I could do it.
Maybe.
All right. I'd love to do it. Jamie, of course you're invited too, but I understand your comfort level may be in a different place, and that's a-okay. So if you're comfortable with it.
What day is that? If it's a Saturday?
It's usually on Thursday, I think.
Yeah,
I work anyway.
Yeah, it's in the middle of the week. So December 9th is a Thursday.
So I also have another goal for December or January.
Is that a Twitch-related thing? Or
no, I want to go see Tiara.
Oh, that'd be fun. Oh, that's right, because they're in Vegas now?
Yeah, well, yeah. Back in Vegas. Been for a year, a couple years.
Yeah, well, what is time? I thought it's been... I thought we've had COVID for 3 Christmases now. Apparently, I can't math, so...
But no, I miss my heart sib and want to go out and see them.
Aww. All right, let's move on. Before you head out there, Darsakra, give us our next story.
The one I accidentally closed because I'm a doof. Wow, is it even going to load? Sorry, my stuff decided to take a big shit all of a sudden.
That's okay.
Well, there we go. Huh?
I was just saying, the sidebar says. Again,
every time I try to open the story. There we go. All right, so Netflix has bought a video game studio. They have bought Night School Studio and rolled out 5 mobile gaming titles in the European markets. Night School Studio did Oxenfree, which, I mean, that game really, really took off very well.
It was everywhere.
Yeah, so if there's a good acquisition, then that would be it. So they introduced Stranger Things 1984, Stranger Things 3, the game, Card Blast, Teeter Up, and Shooting Hoops on Android to Netflix subscribers in Spain and Italy. And the titles have already been available in Poland. So there you go.
I guess it's something.
Something.
It's interesting to see this continue to expand, and it's interesting how it's growing beyond just the Netflix properties now at this point. So we're starting to see more and more what this might look like, and that it feels like it might be like a separate Netflix thing. Like it's not really integrated into the main app. I bet on PC it's going to feel a lot different, but on the mobile device, it's kind of like these two separate sort of sides to it. I think this is interesting as it's continuing to grow where this might end up. All right.
Yeah.
Let's move on. And this is something we had kind of joked about before that is now becoming a reality, right, Loki?
Yeah. So, you know, we're always looking for that Twitch competitor. Who's it going to be?
Who's not Facebook Gaming? I want to make that
because
everybody always jumps in and says, what about Facebook Gaming? And I said it has the word Facebook in it. Therefore, I have no interest in it.
Yeah, so the site now is Chatterbait, and they're adding support for games in that. There is a list of whitelisted games that are available to play in there. Most of them are adult-related games. Apparently, though, like before, they used to kind of scold people for doing that. But now they do have some of those in there as well. And ironically, though, they also have like other games in there, like Logjammers, which I guess is like an axe throwing game. But yeah, it's mostly just like adult games that are
so
in there. Appropriately with the platform, I guess.
What I want to know about the rules: am I allowed to stream without a shirt on?
I'm pretty sure that's a yes,
because you know that's a controversy here on Twitch. Although they did change that rule some time ago, because I know some men here on Twitch who stream without shirts on. And there's actually a whole little thing that you put like exclamation shirt, because people always come in and they're like, you're not supposed to be streaming without a shirt. And it's like that rule changed in 2019 and so forth. So it's just
yeah, and they've been adding more games to it. And there's been a lot of indie studios reaching out to them to add their games or whitelist their games to it. So I'm sure that you'll see more of these games on there. I mean, there's a lot of them on Steam, so why not?
If they can stream shirtless, why can't I?
You could on Chatterbait. Just
so ridiculous.
What do you guys say? She-Hulk in chat just says OLR Chatterbait version 2.0 After Dark News. What do you guys say? You want to move the show to Chatterbait?
By the way, do you see where my camera sits? No one would see anything anyway. But you can see what I'm wearing right now.
Oh, it's one of your shirts from your personal store. Look at you. How'd the quality of that turn out? Really good. I guess good.
Oh, it's nice.
It's good.
It's nice. And I just found out I sold another 2 shirts. People like it.
All right. Congrats. Congrats on that.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
came from my internet.
I'm sad that we have a little bit of a bummer for this last story tonight, but I do want to talk about this and how it does. Yes, it does relate to gaming a little bit. But, you know, anime fans were very sad this week to hear about the loss of, and I'm sorry if I mispronounced this name, but Takao Saito, who passed away this week at 84.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. He was the creator of Golgo 13.
He's
a big, yeah.
He did Baron Air as well.
He passed due to pancreatic cancer. That's always hard to read.
That's what got Granny.
Yeah, that is. And that's.
And Alex Trebek.
That's a really, it's a really, Patrick Swayze, a really nasty cancer type. It's taken a lot of people from us.
It is a damned hard one to treat.
He passed this week at 84th on, September the 24th. So it might have actually been 2 weeks ago. So of course, Golgo 13 was, you know, the huge thing that he was known for. And you might be wondering, well, what the hell does that have to do with video games? And of course, you know, I'm going to remind you, there was a Golgo 13 game on the NES. And what was interesting about that game, I remember them.
There were some visual novels too.
Oh, of course.
I'd be able to walk around backwards in that. I remember doing that, like moonwalking. That was fun.
I also, in that game, I remember them advertising it in Nintendo Power. And what was interesting about it was that, remember, you know, back in the 80s, you know, way back when, we weren't quite as aware of the global pop culture market and global things. So they marketed Golgo 13 over here without really tying it to the anime, because they assumed most people here would know of the anime. Of course, some do. But, you know, especially back in the 80s when there was...
It's like why we didn't get a lot of Lupin the Third.
Yeah, it's exactly.
We got Cliff Jumper, which was like the Castle of Cagliostro.
So it was interesting how they had to kind of sell that. And of course, they made other games after that, too. There actually was a DS game in 2009, Golgo 13 Pursue File, G13. But
Wasn't there a Game Boy one as well?
Yeah,
there was.
I had read this like not terribly long ago. And as I recall, for anyone who actually still follows the manga, because the manga is still in production, I think his studio is keeping the story going per his wishes.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Shogakukan, I think. It's been a minute. I'd have to double check it.
Dark Tetsuya also points out there's an arcade one with a sniper rifle similar to Konami's Silent Scope. So
yeah,
I think you
That's
guys...
That's a series that they should bring back. Although I think they
Let's play Metal Gear for real.
So I think you guys have the idea that, yes, because of its status as such a long-running, well-known manga in Japan, of course, you know, it's bled its way into other pop culture places. So, you know, this man's impact was felt a lot of places. So, you know, of course.
We haven't seen a live-action series for that, or have they done a live-action?
There have been, I think, live-action Golgo 13. I'll double-check. I'm pretty sure that I've seen it around.
Wait, because if that Cowboy Bebop does well, and it seems like the reception to the opening credits and stuff.
Oh my goodness,
well,
we're gonna get
the Golgo 13 movie came out in 1973.
But if it does well, does that mean we're going to finally get our Leo DiCaprio Akira movie?
I'm telling you, if that Cowboy Bebop thing on Netflix does well, it's going to be the floodgates will open.
And trust. By the way, there was a sequel to that live action movie, Golgo 13 Assignment Kowloon, that starred Sonny Chiba.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, that was nice. Just brought up in chat, too. Very cool.
Yeah, I would love to see a live action Trigun. That's for sure.
All right.
Love and peace.
I am going to open up our Discord to anybody that wants to call. Just join our green room. And if you're not on our Discord, get over there. Even if you don't want to call in tonight, join the conversation throughout the week over at vognetwork.com/Discord. We'll get you on our Discord server. It's a great way to talk to us throughout the week if you want to. Well, at least I don't know how frequently everybody checks in, but I'm on it every day. So if you want to get a hold of me, you can say hello over in the Vogue Network.
I'm always in Discord.
Awesome. Vognetwork.com/Discord if you want to say hello. We get a lot of story suggestions too, and that's how I stay aware of some of the stuff going on. I've gotten breaking news from the folks in our Vogue Network Discord. Actually, there was something that was posted this week that I saw for the first time in that Discord, and of course in the moment I can't remember what it is, but I'm going to scroll back through and see if I can find it. But of course, once again, invite your calls over at vognetwork.com/Discord if you'd like to give us a call. And in the Orange Lounge radio channel, I saw that Konami rumor in the Game Awards and all that stuff. What was it? I think it was that the 4K denial thing I'd saw in the thing for the first time. Oh, there was this interesting thing, too, that Bobby had tweeted. I had heard about this before, but I thought it was interesting. That somebody made a Final Fantasy 14 dancer controller out of a Microsoft Kinect. So you actually have to dance to perform the moves in Final Fantasy. It's one of those silly just because we can things. It's like somebody beating Soul Calibur with the Dreamcast fishing rod, which I know Darksoccer's referenced on this show before. Rod Calibur, that's just somebody doing some crazy thing because they can. Why not? So, and Bobby's pointing out the Dragon Quest 10 thing most recently. Yeah, I just saw that comment earlier today from 13X Forever. It says the Dragon Quest 10 online that got an offline version some months ago. And I remember hearing about that because I want them to bring that over here. Just quietly got its second expansion as DLC. So hopefully we'll get all the expansions for the offline version, which brings it closer and closer to a Western localization at some point, hopefully. That's what 13X Forever said in our Discord. and I'd love to, I really hope that means that they're going to localize it for English, because I'd love to play Dragon Quest X and kind of experience that in the offline version, of course, because I don't think we'll ever get the online version. That's for sure. We do have somebody in the green room, so let's bring them on the air. I'm going to bring them on the air and say hello to them and try to get the right camera here on Discord. But hi, you are on Orange Lounge Radio. Who's this?
Hey, what's going on, y'all? This is Fat Ninja DM.
It is good to hear from you, Fat Ninja DM. How are you?
I am doing awesome. I probably need my nerd card revoked because I did not see the passing of the awesome creator of Global 13. That is definitely sad.
You know what? There are so many news stories that happen in a week, and some of the things just slip off the radar. That's what podcasts like us are here to do. I don't envision that we break the news, but sometimes we pick up the news that fell on the floor and slipped through the cracks and talk about that. So unfortunately, I wish it was better news, but it is what it is.
Yeah. Actually, I just want to talk about real quick about the whole New World thing. Yes, the queues have been horrendous, but, you know, they did add some and all that. It's one of those things you either really, really enjoy it or you just flat out can't stand it. And with the jankiness of combat right now, it's going to be really, really hard for people to latch onto it. Now, I'm not saying that it's awful jank, but it's enough jank there that will definitely throw some people off. But
on a scale of 1 to 10, where 1 is not that janky and 10 is damn it janky, where does this fall?
Oh man, I have to say like a 6 or a 7.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, if you can get over that, it's not a bad game. I like the crafting. You know, it's for some reason, y'all talking about the power wash simulator a little while ago. It's something very satisfying being out in the forest and cutting down trees. And then
I understand that.
Having several other people cutting down trees, so you see all these trees falling over, or a whole bunch of people mining some ore veins or whatever, and you hear the pickaxe like tink, tink, and you hear a whole bunch of them. So yeah, you either enjoy it or you'll just flat out like, this is garbage, and I'm not going to play it anymore.
So I assume the way you're talking, Fat Ninja, you are playing this game right now, right?
Yes.
So what is it, do you think, that's, you know, because obviously Dark Sakura, Loki, myself, none of us own the game right now. We've all kind of watched, thanks to Twitch, people playing New World. But what do you think is the reason why? I mean, it's breaking Steam records. It's doing very well for a new MMO release. What do you think is the reason behind that? Is it the cool crafting system, or, you know, especially because you said the battle's not that great. What do you think it is that's drawing so many people to this game right now?
It's just a new hotness right now. We'll see within a month or so whether New World has a staying power, because yes, Amazon is making strides and they're doing things pretty quickly to fix things. But as it wears on and then more and more people are tired of the long queues and so on and so forth, then we'll really actually see, is it the new hotness to stay, or is it going to be a flash in the pan like other ones? Force Unleashed. Oh, excuse me.
drag them.
So,
I think you are very much right on the kind of the new hotness part. I think there's a segment of that. I think right now, you know, we all know World of Warcraft is not in a good spot in many different ways. You know, there's everything that's going on with Activision Blizzard. There's all the concerns about, you know, where the storyline in the game is going, and so on and so on. I'm not really trying to dunk on World of Warcraft, but I think the reality is the game is hurting more than it's ever hurt in its, you know, years long history. And, you know, most people have just said, oh, now it's time to play that other MMO, Final Fantasy 14. But I think New World is kind of showing up, like those delays in a way, I think, worked out in its favor, because now New World is kind of presenting itself as like another option for maybe those that don't think Final Fantasy 14 is the good fit for them, which is a completely valid thing, right? I think you got a lot of like WoW people that are maybe looking for something else in an MMO that maybe like some of the crafting and the things you talk about. I like Final Fantasy 14's crafting system, but it's different. So, you know, there's other things maybe that New World's bringing to the table that I think they're bringing at just the right time, that I think is a huge part of this as well. And the fact that they are paying Twitch streamers to play it, or, you know, giving them codes or whatever it is they're doing, it certainly helps. But I think all of that is just like adding up to like the right stuff that makes this game of the moment.
Oh yeah, absolutely. You know, what's that saying? Strike where the iron is hot. So that's what they're doing right now.
Absolutely.
And by all means, please dunk on Blizzard. I think it's one of those things that in the producing or creating of games or what have you, you are in this like little bubble of you're constantly walking around on eggshells because you know people are doing bad things and they're constantly walking around these floorboards with all these nails and caltrops sitting all over the floor. But, you know, for a while, you know, you're immune. You know, you got those thick-soled boots or shoes, so you don't, you know, get your feet impaled on those little spikes and stuff. But now, guess what? The shoes have slipped off. So now people are stepping all over those spikes. And, you know, what's making it even, you know, a lot more funny is the simple fact that, you know, we have community and, you know, people within these companies sounding off. And the main person leading the charge is our awesome Dark Sakura, who's sitting on the shoulders of these people, putting more weight and driving those caltrops and nails in their feet. You know, so it's really bad that this has to happen. But like you said before, Rob, it just has to happen. And, you know, we have to go through that, you know, I guess you could say growing pains before things straighten up.
Yeah. It was something that had to be dealt with because it was getting worse and worse and taking over and over. It was a virus that was doing horrible things to the gaming industry that needs to be addressed. Like, it's long overdue. And hopefully in the case of Blizzard, you know, they have new management now. The person at the top, out, which needed to happen and did happen. New people at the top now. So it's going to take a little time, but we'll see what effect that they have on the culture, you know? You have, you know, a woman at the top sharing, you know, so there's, you know, you could say a lot about that, but you know, the fact that at least there will be some influence there. And more importantly, in many ways from a different company from the outside, this Vicarious Visions side that seemed to have been doing a lot of things right. So it'd be interesting to see what she really brings to the table. And then, of course, you know, the other gentleman at the top, Mike Ybarra, you've heard a lot with Microsoft and Xbox and has been involved in a lot of the right moves that Microsoft's made ever since, you know, Don Matrick, you know, and the clown car that, you know, he was running that flopped the Xbox One's initial release. So it's going to be interesting to see where Blizzard's at in a year with all this. Very interested to see what happens. But there's a lot of things that need addressing, that's for sure. And Diablo 4 cannot flop. There is so much writing on Diablo 4. It cannot flop. It cannot afford to flop, period.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. The barbarians are already at the gate with their pitchforks. Mm-hmm. Just licking their chops, waiting to attack it. It's not even, you know, it's not even nowhere near ready yet.
And
you know,
barbarian, so we mean Bobby Kotick. Yes.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, so before I go, I just, you know, I do send my messages and everything, but I just wanted to say it on air to all of you. I just love what you're doing. You know, y'all come from different walks of life. You've been through your struggles, your, you know, just awesome triumphs in your darkest hour, but y'all still do what you do every single week, pretty much week in and week out. And you always make Sundays at this time something to look forward to. And I just really appreciate every last one of you and all your quirks and all your triumphs and all your failures. I just love all of you. You're totally awesome. And the community that you have built over these years is totally phenomenal. So, you know, claps for everybody, claps for the host, and claps for chat. Y'all are just totally amazing.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That means, like, that's all we need. We do. It's nice that people give financially, and I know you've given a lot financially and stuff. That is nice. But what you just gave, that's the fuel we really need to get us through the next few you know, years or however long this show keeps going. It really means the world. I guess I should say this at some point during the show because something in chat got brought up about this too. So Dark Soccer, we probably should let them know about the Guinness World Record thing. And
yeah, so
go ahead.
They denied it because I was submitting it as a single person, which is weird. So I have to go back. I'm probably going to have to resubmit a different way.
Yeah.
But it's just a qualification thing. So I'll just have to figure out the right thing to do it in.
It was probably one of those things because the record was for Orange Lounge Radio. Then they see that as a business. And so they probably want the money or whatever, as opposed
not
to
a business.
You know, Dark Soccer. So, I know.
I'm going to actually see if I can put in an appeal.
All right. But anyway, we wanted to just give people the update on that. And so I know that is like a bummer type of thing. And I see that in chat. But here's the thing. I don't need Guinness to acknowledge the show. It'll be nice if they did. It'll be nice if they did. But
it'd be nice for a tagline, yes.
It would be a great selling point, wouldn't it? But it'd be nice. But what Fat Ninja DM just shared with us.
That's really the best.
That's way more. That was more important than a Guinness World Record. That is far more important than that. So thank you so much.
And it's only marginally better than actually having a Guinness. kidding. That was great. It was really.
No.
Appreciate
it. Fat Ninja understands. All right.
Right.
All right.
Okay.
Which I have one in my fridge. So, hey, winner.
All right.
There we go.
Take care, my friend. Thank you so much for the call. I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right.
Okay. No problem.
You take care, my friend. Have fun in New World.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Later. That was very nice. Don't we appreciate those type of calls? Thank you so much.
Absolutely.
Really appreciate that.
Yeah. Orange Right in chat says Orange Launch Radio was already declared best podcast in the galaxy. That is true. You know, here's the thing. All we have to do is set up a front to give out world records and say that we do have the world record. We just can't say it's a Guinness world record. There's a difference.
Anyway. Well, I'm still going to fight him.
No, you should. And if we have to look into paying to be recognized as a group, then let's talk about it. If it's not a horrible amount of money.
OLR Kickstarter. Make us famous.
If depending on what we're talking about.
We're just infamous right now.
You know what? Depending on what we're talking about, maybe we can just chip, or I can just chip in, whatever. We'll work it out. We'll work it, out.
It really isn't supposed to be that bad.
All right. Anyway.
Anyway.
I was going to ask, so you'd gone AFK, Dark Sakura, but I think there's no email, right? So I just want to check.
No, it was empty.
Yeah. participate@orangeloungeradio.com if you want to send us an email for a future week. Again, that's participate@orangeloungeradio.com because we didn't have any emails. Let's check for any last minute stories from Loki.
Not a whole lot. It's mainly just there was a story about, and it's predictable because they do this for everything, that Roblox creators were creating knockoffs of the games that were in Squid Game. And so that's been like the new hotness recently on Roblox. But they do that with everything. They knock off every single thing on there. There's no IP that is safe.
Hold up. I need something. Okay, so we do these silly little intros at the top of each show. Those that listen live, you see it. It's a whole riff from You Can't Do That on Television where, you know, such and such will not be seen tonight. So we can bring it. So Loki did the one tonight. Thank you for doing that, Loki. And it was a play on Squid Game where you incorporated the Splatoon characters into it. But I've been hearing all about this fucking show, and I know nothing about it except that it's Korean and on Netflix. Without spoiling it, because I've heard that you should kind of not know what it's about when you want. But so I'm giving you the difficult task without spoiling it. What is this show and why is it so popular?
So the premise is there are these people that have been approached and invited to participate in this contest or game, basically. And so they get these cards and they meet up at a certain spot and they're basically blindfolded and knocked out and brought to this place to play these games. And the games, basically what happens is there's like, I think 456 people. They have like so much money per person, and it's the last one standing gets all of the money. It's a lot of money. A lot of these people have like lots of debt that they owe to, like, you know, bad people or something like that. And so the premise is, though, what they don't know going into it is that if you lose the game, you die, you get killed. And so
it's battle royale.
It's sort of battle royale, but it's them doing, like, for example, what was shown in there is the first game they're playing Korean children's school games, I guess. So red light, green light, basically. But there's this creepy doll head thing, or this giant doll that's, you know, doing the red light, green light stuff. And if they catch you moving, they shoot you. So it's very interesting. And so there's a lot of these different games.
So it's Arcade's Murder World.
I don't know, but yeah, it's very good. It's a interesting drama, and they have like basically certain rules that are followed in there. No one, you know, reveals who their identities are. And it's just kind of all these different characters that they follow through this and like just their experiences with that. So it's interesting. Yeah.
All right. Yeah. And I see folks in chat, they're saying, let's see, I think it was Orange Right said, it's battle royale, but Korean. Mike Def says it's battle royale, but they don't kill each other.
That's not necessarily true, but right. Yeah.
Yeah. But
I'm going to go with the Marvel analogy. It's Murder World.
I did ask for the simple version, so I'm okay with that. Anyway, quickly, I don't know if you just wanted to say anything else on the Roblox thing, Loki, but I wanted to look at some other comments in chat. Dar Tetsuya is saying in chat, if you can, pick up Cruisin' Blast. Do it. It's super fun for a budget title. I played it for 2 weeks straight, unlocking everything, and Orange Right kind of seconded that comment in our chat. Yeah, I keep forgetting that that's out, and I do want to pick it up at some point. That's for sure.
Also, Hot Wheels Unleashed is apparently pretty good. I haven't gotten that yet, but that's also very good too.
SJ100 Matt is saying we should get a Wikipedia page up again. Been a while since there was one after some clown got the OLR one deleted.
I would love if we had a Wikipedia article again, but of course it's just going to get deleted unless you have to be able to reference external sources to establish the notability of the show. I think there are some out there. Like, you gotta do like some of the well, first, the fact that we won the first podcast award for gaming and that we're still going, there's that. But what would really help, here's what would really help, SHO 100 Matt. I don't know how to phrase this without sounding like ego, so I'm just going to say it bluntly. We need more coverage in, like, gaming press, gaming media, about the accomplishments that we've done as we're getting into our 20th year of doing OLR. Because the more write-ups we can get from those type of external sources, that's how we get a Wikipedia page again, because then there'll be external sources to cite. Does that make sense? It can't just be like, oh, 10 years ago, we spilled the beans on Beautiful Katamari, you know, and Guitar Hero Rocks the 80s or whatever it was. We can't, like, that's not going to be strong enough to hold a Wikipedia page for us. I still kind of think that the fact that we're the longest running show, but unfortunately we don't have anything to really back that up, like a Guinness World Record or whatever. But if we had an article about us that called us the longest running show, then you can kind of reference that. Do you see where I'm going with that, SHO 100 Matt? That's, and everybody, I don't mean to pick on you, but that's the sort of stuff that we kind of need. And then a Wikipedia page can happen again, because you'll have those sort of sources. And as Bobby Blackwell says, right now we're not notable enough. I think the fact we won the first podcast award and we're still here ought to say something. But it hasn't all glued together. That's hard to explain to people. It's hard. Oh, wow. 2005 podcast award. Wow, wow, wow.
It's on cam right now you're watching live.
Well, we know. If you Google it, you'll find it. It's documented. Here's the thing that gets me. Ironically, there is a Wikipedia page for the podcast awards, and we're listed on there. And like every podcast in that matrix that's ever won an award has an article somewhere, except like one or two, and we're one of them. So,
to make us an article.
Yeah. Anyway, but I don't want to turn this into a woe is me segment, because, you know, again, we can sit here, bitch, whine, moan. We don't have this. We don't have this. We don't have this. You know what we do have? That last call we just had.
Yeah.
And
that was great.
Far more important than a Wikipedia page.
Heck yeah.
Heck yeah. Anyhow, on that note, I think we will wrap things up, unless there's another last minute story you're dying to get out, Loki.
Just that they're porting that. Remember how they did it, like a Boy in the Blob kind of remaster, remake, or something like that? That was on the Wii. That's coming to the Switch now. That's about it.
Oh yeah. Okay. Oh, interesting.
Huh. Yeah, it looked pretty cool. It was like a kind of hand drawn animated stuff, so it looked, you know, pretty cool.
That's kind of a random thing to dig out of the archives, but all right, we'll take it. That's for sure.
Yeah.
All right. Let's wrap it up with our final thoughts and good night. I know Dark Soccer is wanting to get to her stream, but before I go to Dark Soccer for her final thought, I will say thank you, of course, for participating with Orange Lounge Radio this week, whether you did it live here on Sunday night over on Twitch at VOG Network. Thank you for that. Or if it was listening on the podcast feed, I know some of you do that. And then you kind of share your thoughts on Discord throughout the week or via Twitter or whatever. So thank you for that. However you participated with the show, appreciate you. And all we ask, tell a friend or two about the show. Tip off a few media sites. Help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but we need to get the voices here to get them out on air. So a nice 5-star review on iTunes or wherever it is you found this podcast, all of that stuff goes an awful long way. If you are so inclined and you'd like to show a little love through some merch purchasing, then I suggest you visit our shop, vognetwork.com/shop, and you can check out an Orange Lounge Radio t-shirt or a VOG Network t-shirt or a Bobby Blackwolf mug, an OLR sticker. There's a lot of stuff up there that you can check out. That is all at vognetwork.com/shop. But you certainly don't have to. That is it for me. Let's go around and get final thoughts. And Dark Sakura, I will start with you.
Be kind to yourself and be kind to each other. It's easy to be kind. Don't be a salty shit in Endgame chat, yo.
That's when I just leave and don't give them the satisfaction of a reply.
I've been actually taking to do the, oh, and one more thing. And... the Miss Barn approach.
Oh, I saw somebody else do that. I don't know if it was Nick or Losing Color or somebody. I think it was Losing Color did the whole, like, yeah, in the chat. Oh, and one more thing, and then left the room. I thought
and then the thing in chat was barned.
That was so fucking funny. Yeah. That's great. Yes.
It works.
And you can use that outside Dead by Daylight. Use that in whatever game is having a chat that's pissing you off. Just let them know. You know what? And one more thing, and then leave. And then they'll just be waiting for an answer, and you own them. All right. Anyway, thank you, Dark Sakura, and have a good stream tonight.
All right. Thank you.
All right. And then my final thought for the night, let's see, I don't know if I have a lot to say. I'm just gonna, I will reiterate what I said earlier with my well wishes for, Bobby Black Wolf, and we hope to see you back here. Sunday nights are going to be very strange without you. If it's just 1 week, then whatever, Bobby's on vacation. But it's going to be very weird if it goes on for any longer. So, but obviously everything, is that you're doing is more important than, the show. So, I get it. All right. Last but not least, Logi.
Hoping to have my video out this week. I was hoping to have it out last week, and that took forever. So I'm still fighting, trying to get content to a manageable amount that I can film in a week and turn around it in a week.
You can do it. I believe in you.
Yeah.
All right. That's going to do it for another episode of OLR. We will be back in 7 days. We're going to know the next Smash Brothers character in 7 days. We're going to have a new Metroid game in the next 7 days. This is a busy week. Welcome to the fourth quarter, everybody. It's going to be a fun year. We'll see you next time to talk about the latest and greatest in gaming with all of you and your voices. Have a wonderful week. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or VogNetwork, Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.